Blog.
Welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I'm Matthew Aaron, www.thematthewaronshow.com, and at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, and Matthew Aaron on the Facebook, and I'm here with Lee Capreas.
Lee Capreas, hello.
And the gorgeous Katie Rose Cronin.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I just think it's kind of funny that Katie Rose is here.
2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, well, it makes sense that you're here when Michael Ian Black's here and got all the big stars coming out. So Katie Rose on time. She could be available. fit it in her schedule.
But nice, I have to congratulate you on playing music that's, you're determined, you see, you like messing with the audience a little bit, you're determined at the end of it, it's going to be only the hardcore fans listening.
Yes.
Yes.
But you should say why you played that, for who.
Oh, because my long lost friend, Gordon Eberlin, is here. He's sitting in our studio hanging out and listening, and we are big fans of the NSYNC album that we just played that had Space Cowboy on it. We actually, if people know Chuck from our show,
speak for yourself.
Anal Beads Charles, as everyone knows.
Yeah.
Beads.
Let's just call him Beads.
I like Beads.
Yeah. No. Yeah. We'll call him Beads. Is that what we're calling?
Let's call
anal,
him Beads.
Anal Beads.
Yeah.
Anal beads.
Anal beads. Yeah, right. Anal
Let's
beads.
Let's call him that so much and tell people only to call him that, and then when people meet him, they won't know what his real name
well,
is.
Well,
because that happened to somebody in high school knew that somebody saw him in a Speedo.
Me too.
And everyone called him Speedo, and no one knew his real name.
Gordo can totally clarify. He can totally verify this story. My friend Jason Paredes from high school, we had a Spanish class. And he wanted to be called, like, Pueblo or something for his Spanish name. And I called him Burrito. Everybody called him Burrito. So, and he was a fat Mexican. So it was real good.
See, I should think it would be more interesting if he was just, like, Swedish.
See? Okay, yeah, that's true. Yeah, like, okay, if he was a hot, hunky, white Swede.
Yeah, tall, blue-eyed, pale skin.
Now, Katie Rose, did you have a Spanish-like name for your class, or did you take French?
I took French.
You did, with Tony Tortorello.
I have no idea what my name was.
Good old Tony. Tony won't add me on Facebook.
Why is that?
Neither will Dan Alloway.
Huh.
I don't know. I'm kind of hurt more about the Dan Alloway.
Are you really hurt, though? They're your old high school teacher.
We used to talk a lot of Lakers basketball, and I'm a little hurt I lost that connection. Hmm. Tony, hit or miss.
I don't think you're missing much.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So what was I going to say? So the Chuck story.
Yeah.
So Chuck's really into heavy metal. And Gordo and Chuck and I like going on road trips to see the Cubs. So one year we went to Cleveland to see the Cubs. And I stopped at a CD store before we left. And I bought a whole bunch of used CDs. And one of them was this NSYNC album. And we listened to this NSYNC album and the Nick Lachey album. From Cleveland to Chicago, and Chuck was pissed.
Why did you do that?
To piss off Chuck.
But why didn't he just...
I think anyone that knows me by now...
Take charge and eject the CD and throw it out the fucking window.
Oh, well, I don't know why. But I think anyone that knows me by now knows I treat my friends one of two ways. I either treat you like you're the greatest guy ever, and I would never do anything bad to you, and I would never annoy you.
I've never
like
seen
Gordo.
You treat anyone that way.
Okay,
yeah,
Gordo and I get along very well. We've never argued. Or I treat you like Charles or Caesar, where, maybe I try to push your buttons here and there a little bit.
Why is that?
Because it's funny. Like, don't you see reactions from people? It's funny.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm so nice to you. What are you talking about? You shouldn't say anything right now.
Yeah, I know.
You're going to go to the other side.
Oh, no. I don't want to be on the other side.
You're
going to
be on the button-pushing side soon.
Oh, yeah.
So I wanted to bring up something. I was thinking today, we were having that conversation with Michael Royce on Monday. By the way, Men of a Certain Age last night was fantastic. I just had to get that out.
Yeah.
But anyways, we were having that conversation with Michael Royce on Monday about how Chicago doesn't really make stars anymore. And we had that conversation with Peter Tolan, too, I think, last week.
Yes, that's true.
So I got to thinking, there's a reason, I think, though. All the stars today really aren't worth that much anymore. Did you see that new Jim Carrey movie, Bombed?
Yeah.
Bombed.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds' movie didn't perform as well as they wanted it
to
do.
Well, star power Hollywood put out is not enough to open a movie anymore.
Yeah.
It's not.
But you know why I think it is? It's because of the reality television plays a big part in it. I think there's a lot of kids that don't care about stars anymore. They care about real people.
I don't know if it's because they care about real people.
I think Kim Kardashian can open a movie moderately as big as someone like Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, I really do. I think it'll be very sad to see.
I feel like people would just go out of interest, though, not because they really respect her.
Yeah. No, that's probably
true.
See,
that's the thing. Those stars are going to be popular, for years to come, and the reality TV stars disappear, though.
Well, they haven't yet. We're waiting.
They will.
I'm waiting patiently. Though Paris Hilton's show did completely bomb, and it wasn't even the top 100 for cable shows last week, on the day of the show even. Like, infomercials beat her show on Oxygen. Yeah, that's sad.
That's sad.
But it reminded me of a story, though. So that woman lady friend I see out in Beverly Hills, I can't mention her name, Caesar will flip. Let's just say she's a very powerful woman out in L.A. Uh-huh. She does a lot of work in the television and movie business, big time.
Okay.
She told me a story about Michael Ovitz, and you remember who Michael Ovitz is, right? Famous agent, ended up running a million studios. Well, he was Ari Emanuel before Ari Emanuel. And you know, Jeremy Piven's character on Entourage based off Ari Emanuel. He was Ari Emanuel before Ari Emanuel. And Michael Ovitz claimed he could make a star out of anybody, and he could. And you can't do that anymore. I'll give you an example. Michael Ovitz said, I could make my karate instructor a huge star. And everyone said bullshit, and they bet him money, and they were totally calling him on his bluff. And that man turned out to be Steven Seagal.
I somehow knew you were going to say that.
He was huge in the 80s and 90s, made a lot of money for a lot of studios.
But I read he literally just had – he just harassed people until he got a role.
No, Michael Ovitz –
And he didn't go away.
I don't think that was the case, because the story is Michael Ovitz just said, I'll put him in a million movies. Maybe Michael Ovitz harassed people until – they could have been Michael Ovitz and they're putting it on Steven Seagal. But Michael Ovitz said, I will turn this guy into a huge star. You watch. And you can't argue with them.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I don't think you could do that. I really don't think so. Look at all these people. They're doing remakes. There's not – okay, this is my point. Other than Shia LaBeouf, which is, by the way, debatable. Other than him, how many young people can carry a film? Young, in their 20s. You got to really think about it, don't you?
How old is Cillian Murphy?
I don't think he'd carry a film. Not here. In Britain, maybe. In Britain, maybe, but not here,
that
right?
That movie, The Wind That Shakes the Barley, you know.
Yeah, but like,
which only I've seen.
Think about it. Like, young actors don't have the star power anymore. There's like none. There's like none. Shia LaBeouf, maybe. And that Transformers movie will perform just as well with or without him. With or without, he's meaningless to that movie.
Are you talking about like big blockbusters?
With anything, who can open a movie that's young? Open, like make good money because they're in it.
Do people like to go see Seth Rogen?
That's a good example. Green Hornet didn't do as well as people wanted it to do, but that's a decent example. He's doing okay. But like, who's the other fat guy? Jonah Hill.
Right.
He's hit or miss. He puts out something that either does well or doesn't do well. Russell Brand. It either does do well or doesn't do well.
But he can't carry a movie.
No, but none of them can. Maybe Seth Rogen is really the only person right now that's under 30. That's pretty sad. So I got to think about that. Did you also read, I was talking to Lee outside in the Huffington Post today, there are a bunch of gay blogs in Chicago in the 44th Ward, and that's Boys Town. And they don't want young black men in Boys Town.
Like because living and hanging out?
Hanging out or living because they think there are criminals.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because there is crime in Boys Town.
But isn't that weird?
And not the kind of burglaries you'd expect.
Isn't that weird, though? It's like minority on minority hate. I don't know how I feel.
That's ridiculous. And that's like that whole thing of how, you know, gays want to be a part of society, you know, want to get married. It used to be about saying, different, we're here at Cricket, used to it, we're different, we're rebelling.
So they want to be prejudiced against black
now
people,
they
too.
Now they want to get married and be ignorant and racist and small-minded, like regular people.
Maybe you're on to something. After the Civil Union, now they're like, we could be ignorant, too.
Oh, man, this is great.
Oh, we got tons of people calling in. Why is Lenny calling me?
He's outside.
Can we answer this?
Feels pretty good to
Leonard,
me.
Why are you... Why are you calling? I thought you were sitting in.
I just got out of class now.
Oh, okay. You're on your way?
Shit.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're gonna have Michael Ian Black on in like 15 minutes, and then you'll come over and we'll...
Let's talk about bromance.
What?
Let's talk about the bromance.
The bromance. We're talking about bromance now?
Well, I hear you guys talking about civil frickin' unions.
Oh, so that equals bromance. Okay.
We're actually
obviously you guys are getting back into the political track, and I wanted to go a little unpolitical for once.
Oh, you wanted to kiss some Caesar butt. I understand. Continue.
Is he there with you?
He's sitting right next to me.
Yeah, listen, we were literally kind of just trying to make a small point. I don't think we were intending to get into any
Yeah, I don't
want to
talk about that.
Katie Rose doesn't want to talk about your
Katie Rose?
The audience is going to get a big dose of Lenny today, and he called like it's not enough. This is going to be such a Lenny-heavy show. Warning.
Oh, Pam Tobias.
Well, was that like a Surgeon General warning?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you need one. Pam Tobias texted me saying Michael Cera could open a movie.
I was thinking about that.
I don't think that's true, though. They had a Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Well, that was
that, well.
But what was the one where he was
like
two?
Yeah, but he opened like 10 other movies.
Yeah,
no,
Youth and
one.
Revolt was
Year One. Youth and Revolt didn't make money. I'm talking
I
about
love
money.
That.
I'm talking about money, though. Year One bombed awfully.
What about Juno?
And that was Judd Apatow producing, Harold Ramis directing, Jack Black and Michael Cera starring.
Can Ellen Page open
bombed.
A movie?
No.
No?
No.
Ugh.
Absolutely not.
You don't like Ellen Page?
Well, she's okay. I bet you really
I've
like
always
her.
Said about Ellen Page, though.
I kind of do.
If she's at a party and I'm at a party, it's not a party and I don't belong there. If Ellen Page is there. It's not a party, and
we'll
I don't belong
by.
There.
Wait, what do you got against Ellen Page?
I don't have anything against her, Lenny. I'm saying she cannot
fine.
Open a film.
Oh, fair enough.
Okay. I got nothing against her. She loves the bees. That's cool.
Yeah, the bees.
She loves
you know,
bumblebees.
Bees are okay.
Yeah,
it's cute. Don't be rough on the bees.
Yeah, I'm not rough on the bees.
Yeah, you know what? You make a good point, but...
Is that just the way it's going to be now? Maybe that's good, though, because
well, no,
maybe that'll mean quality has to reign.
Well, here's the thing. I think a lot of younger people are into seeing actors now more so than ever get older and get more interesting and creepier. Like, they will, like young people who are like in their teens and 20s
yeah.
and are really into, like... Christopher Walken and like Gary Busey, like they know who those people are.
Yeah,
you know
but
what I
they
mean?
Can't open a movie either anymore.
Oh, I don't know. It just depends on the right role.
Well, I'm trying to think. What are even the big movies? Oh, DiCaprio could probably open a movie.
Yeah,
he's probably.
He's
of course, when you do every movie with Chris Nolan and Marty Scorsese,
right?
I would hope you can open a movie.
So maybe it's director and material that you're given.
I think that's
over.
Part of it, and I think the other part of it's big budget.
I think American audiences are becoming a little more director-centric, like in Europe.
A little bit, but they're also still there's like it's split. There's one aspect where half the audience will now go see quality flicks and make them good money. And then there's the other aspect where it's big budget, big effects, and now those movies don't bomb anymore. They don't bomb even. Because, like, people will go see those big effect movies.
Well, those movies do big on DVD.
Look at most
of their money from DVD.
Pirates
sales.
Of the Caribbean 4 was, like, critic proof. It made $1 billion already, and, like,
right.
It was awful. It was terrible.
Yeah. I saw it, too. It was really
yeah.
not good.
Len, you got anything to say about your bro? Hey. What?
Did we see that in 3D?
Yes.
So it wasn't the 3D that made it shit.
Well, I heard Cars 2 ain't very good, Lenny.
Really?
We were gonna go see it, but now
you know, all I want is these motherfuckers to come up with a decent sequel fucking script. They have to ruin everything. I mean, they did well with the Toy Stories.
Yeah, there's like three of those. So
I like Lenny as a soft spot.
Writer, can't you figure out some shit?
Yeah.
Well,
I fucking love Pixar.
I don't know. I'm just being told Cars isn't very good. Cars 2.
I wasn't even nuts about the first Cars.
No Paul Newman on top of it, though.
Yeah, well,
He's nuts.
What is he? Is he too busy?
Yeah.
Is that Paul Newman too fucking busy to do Cars 2?
Yeah.
Paul Newman's dead.
Oh, come on. It's Hollywood. They can't go dig him up.
Yeah. Hollywood is always resurrecting things.
Oh, no. He's physically 6 under.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I bet if you put
thanks for clarifying, Lynn. I didn't know where he was.
If you put him in front of the camera now, he would still be better than a lot of actors.
Oh, your inflection.
My inflection?
I can't tell the inflection in your voice of sarcasm.
Oh.
Why
oh.
You need to be in the studio, Lenny?
Yeah, Len. Where are you?
The studio.
Not a studio. It's a basement.
Oh. Cool it on the B word,
pal. Listen, it's not a basement, and Matt's parents definitely don't live here.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
Hey, we talked to Alex. Is he there?
Huh? Who's here? Alex is here.
Alex there?
Wait for you. He's only here because of you, probably. He's sitting around going, why am I sitting with these fags?
Yeah, what's the deal on his part?
Don't use it. Oh, Alex ordered pizza, he says.
Oh, about time someone else puts their hand in their pockets and pulls out a little cash.
Oh, man.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Pat's not there. He's at the beef stand.
He's at the beef stand. Pat, who said that you squeeze the nickel till the buffalo shits.
Hey, you know what? We should call the beef stand and put a fake order in.
I'd like 12 beefs, all no bread.
All juicy.
Yeah, right.
And ask for Pat. You should call in and be like, I need 12 beef sandwiches, no bread. Bread on the side. And we got to see if it's Pat that answers the phone.
You need to clear up a story for me involving the beef stand. Did you really eat half a pizza last time you were there?
No. I got one slice, which I paid triple for. Thank you, Patrick.
That's it?
How much is a slice of pizza?
Jumbo slice.
I look up on the menu, it's like $2.75, but my bill's fucking $12.90. How's that happen for a slice?
Hey, that's your friend, pal.
Oh, no, it's my buddy.
Yeah, that's your buddy, pal.
Hey, guess what? I haven't invited him over to my house ever.
Pat.
Oh, no.
Poor Pat.
It's not my fault Pat found out where I live.
Well, he followed you home that one night. What do you expect?
Is that like gay innuendo?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
Funny because I was just hearing Matt talking about how he didn't want any black people living in his neighborhood because of the crime.
Oh, wow.
But you know what? That's like fucking Lily White suburb.
Is it the Lily White suburbs here?
Culture out there. You want Mexican, you get Chipotle. You want Chinese, you go to P.F. Chang's. That's not culture.
Yeah, the Express tonight, Lynn.
You got Panda Express?
I did. I have to shit real bad. So I was talking about doing it like before the show.
Incessantly talking about it.
Okay, but there was only 4 minutes left, KRC.
Well, there was like 8 minutes at one point, and then you just talked us down till four.
I know, but I didn't really have to go. There's like no turtle head. It's not like sitting in the anus or anything.
My id and my super ego had a bet going in my head to see whether you would mention that you had to shit on the air or not. My id won.
I'm really afraid I have to shit so much, though, that I could dip my balls in it.
Wow.
The messy one? Like one of those ones that, like, I mean, no matter how much you wipe, you have to shower. Or one of those nice clean ones would shoot right out. You barely knew you shit, but it's like clean. You wipe it and there's nothing. Like it cleaned it out for you.
Don't you love that? Don't you just want to get shit done after that happens?
I mean, that way you don't have to take a shower. You could go fucking run a mile.
Keep chugging your alcohol. Why can't I get laid? Because I poop. Do you know everyone poops?
It's the way you talk about it. Do you think girls want to hear that?
Well, I'm being specific.
Well, girls are still listening after this, and yes, those are the sick ones that have it and probably like it when you smear it on their faces.
Are you talking about the
and
sandwich?
By the way, Michael Ian Black will be joining us in 10 minutes,
right.
And we'll be talking more about poop smearing on people's faces.
Well, you know, Michael Ian Black is a very fitting, I mean, the show he's got, Men of a Certain Age,
Wow, he works very frequently.
Len, I'm glad I hired you to do our research, by the way.
Yeah, right.
I have a lot of questions about Men of a Certain Age from Michael Ian Black.
Where did you learn that?
Well, no, first, we're kind of like... is that the one?
What's your favorite Michael Ian Black project?
Like I know.
Oh, okay. So not even Men of a Certain Age?
I love
it. That's mine.
I love
it. No, but you have
to show.
It applies to us 27 going on 50, 28 going on 50.
Yeah, well, kind of.
I think we're having midlife crises.
You are having a midlife crisis with that stalker bra of yours. Oh, did you tell Katie Rose about your girlfriend?
Ooh, do tell.
You know what? This is done. No.
Okay.
What do you mean this is done? No.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about now. Katie Rose wants
I
to
hear
know
about
your lady friend.
What's her name?
Leonard, what's her name?
He's giving you the cold shoulder.
Oh, Alex has a picture of her. Hold on.
Oh, boy.
Alex is going to show everyone a picture.
I think I'm friends with her on Facebook.
He's friends with her on Facebook. Read me some statuses.
What is her name?
Lenny, Alex is he's throwing you under the bus here.
Well, I'll have to deal with him in due time.
Lenny, you got real quiet all of a sudden.
Yeah,
I've never heard you so.
Did something embarrassing happen?
No.
Something go down?
God, Lenny is so quiet.
This is really weird.
I know.
Deanne.
I don't know
Deanne?
What you don't share. Deanne? Don't share her name.
We can't say her last name, but
no.
Okay. It's
can
Deanne.
I at least see a picture?
Yeah, show the picture.
Al, she wants to see a picture. Show the lady a picture.
Show the picture. We just can't. Don't give out all her personal
hey,
info.
By the way, for everyone sitting in, Lenny is on his way over to the house, so maybe
no?
We should watch what we're saying.
What is he going to do?
Oh, Al, you didn't know he's on his way over?
Oh.
Al, he's on his way over.
Wait, no, he's not going to show me the picture. Come on.
Meaning a dead air. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, Lenny, you just scared the shit out of Alex when I told him you're coming by.
Can you show me the picture? Oh, good. Smart kid. See, he's the smart one out of you all.
Quiet all of a sudden.
Oh, man.
It's not working.
Oh, now it's not working.
Oh, my
phone's not
getting
working.
Any reception. Damn iPhones.
It says,
oh, Lenny, you win this time.
So listen, speaking of affairs of the heart, since you're all here and you're here too, Lenny, I want to ask you something. Just give me some advice, because I value all your opinions. I really do. This girl, I work as a bouncer, and I have this girl, she's kind of...
Fuck her.
She's a friend, yeah, all right. She burst in on me one night at my house, because she hangs out at my house, and I was drunk, and
mm-hmm.
I was lying in
mm-hmm.
bed. I was mostly naked. I was eating McDonald's. I had it on my chest.
Molester, don't worry.
Okay.
Rape her.
She takes a picture of me.
Right.
All
right.
Then a month later, she gives it the picture to me, and I thought that she was like doing it to tease me, but she put it in a nice frame.
Was it a picture of your wiener?
That said, like, a true friends don't know. It's an out of focus picture of me eating McDonald's in my bed, half naked, drunk.
Half? Wait, what's the, what half?
Yeah.
Top. Well, top. I was in my underwear.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was in my fudgies, and I.
Your
she,
fudgies.
Yeah. So she gives me this framed picture, and it's like a true
I'm
friend.
About
and all
to, that. I'm about to have fudgies.
What should
I?
What do you think I should? You know. I was.
Well,
I was
well
really
get your
touched.
Love advice. Get your love advice from Lenny. Lenny.
I was really touched.
Love advice.
Hold on, texting.
I'm texting.
Wait, what is the frame
I'm making
say?
Sure that girl's not listening to the show.
Oh, but just like the picture frame has things on like a true friend will always make you laugh and always it's like
so way. She's making fun of you, kind of.
You know what? She was making fun of me, but it was like a sweet gesture. She
no, I don't
a
think.
Picture
but
frame.
I don't think it's I want to fuck.
I think you're reading
women,
too much into it.
Women that want to fuck you aren't going to send you picture frames that say a true friend
with you eating
while
McDonald's.
You have ketchup falling on your crotch
right.
in your tidy whities.
Right. I yeah.
Think about it, Lee.
Yeah. Oh, we got a phone call. Hold on. We'll see who this is. Hello, you're on the Matthew Aaron Show. Who am I speaking with?
Michael Ian Black calling in.
Oh, no.
Hey.
Oh, no. I'm so unprepared. Hello, Michael. This is Matthew.
Hey,
Michael.
Aren't I calling in at the correct time?
You are absolutely calling in at the correct time. We're just gossiping about how Lee was sitting in his under... You don't want to know.
No, we're not. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to know.
No, you don't. You really don't. So how you doing, sir? Everything going well?
Could not be better.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah, it's not true.
Okay, because I was going to say, I saw some YouTube video of you like a couple weeks ago, and I was kind of concerned for you. What was that about?
I don't know. I don't know what you saw.
I think you saw, you had a YouTube video. It was you and like Josh Molina, and who else? Oh, do you know
we
what
have
I'm
a whole
talking about?
We have a whole YouTube channel.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, you do.
Called Sad, Sad Conversation.
Yes, and they are. So how real are those sad, sad conversations?
They're pretty real. They're pretty sad.
Yeah.
And we're conversating, so I would say it's mostly real.
I felt bad for you, though. You have me worried about you. You're doing
well.
Oh,
yeah, you have to understand, I vacillate between extreme highs and suicidal depression.
Yeah.
And right before I called...
Right
before I called, I was feeling great, and now I've gone to totally the other direction.
Oh, yeah, well, welcome to the show. That's what happened.
Yeah.
You have a gun in your mouth.
I feel great outside, and then we come in and do the show, and I just want to jerk off while hanging myself. Now, that seems to be
what a lot of your comments have been on the website that I saw. That seems to be the reaction in general. I listen to the Matthew Aaron Show, then I want to jerk off and kill myself.
That's about right. That's about right. We don't really have fans. We have people that listen for the first time, and it's their last time listening to anything.
Right.
Feel very bad for them. So, Michael, I have a question for you, because I'm a comedian, but not as good as you, and not as popular as you, and not as wonderful as you. How did you – now, did you start out in stand-up, or did you start out in TV and film?
I started out doing sketch comedy.
Okay.
In, live with a group called The State, and then that transitioned into television.
Okay. Yeah, well, The State was on MTV for, was it 2 years, 3 years?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Katie Rose is a big fan of The State, and so am I, and so is Lee.
So you're,
I definitely am.
Yeah, so your first, I mean, your first group that you were with got picked up for a TV show.
Yeah,
the
that's
very
huge.
First one.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Like you weren't floundering about in just one improv group after another doing a Herald and
no, film. But when you consider how talented I am, it should come as no surprise that that would be the end result.
It's true. Oh.
That's what I say all the time about myself. Yeah, but that's the opposite for me. You went straight up, I went straight down. Now, Michael, now The State, was that in L.A. or in Chicago? Because I know you have some Chicago roots, correct?
I was born in Chicago, and The State was in New York.
Oh, okay, so that's New York. Oh, well, that's good. That's nice. Where from Chicago? In the city?
I don't know. I was 4 when we left.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I hadn't boned up on my geography.
Oh, yeah.
But we weren't in the city. We were in suburbs. Suburban Chicago.
Yeah, so are we.
That's
so we're right next to Wayne's World. They're filming down the block in Aurora. We're in Downers Grove.
Doing more of that.
Yeah,
we're in the basement of the house.
Yeah, we're in my mother's basement. Yeah.
Right.
How much do you regret calling in?
Oh, totally.
On how are we measuring it on a scale of 1 to 10?
1 to 10.
Well, regret's pretty much 10. Yeah.
So, look, so far it's been an utter delight.
Oh, well, let's continue that utter delight. You know who I had on? I had on someone who claims to be a friend of yours.
Okay.
He's a good buddy of mine, Mr. Craig Bierko. Now, is it true that you are friends with that scoundrel?
I am friendly with Craig Bierko. He's a fine man.
Yeah, he's all right. And then, tell me, do you have any good Craig stories? Because I'm always looking for a good Craig story.
No. I don't know him well enough to have Craig stories.
Oh, no good Craig stories? I love a good Craig story. Well,
what would be an example of a good Craig story?
Oh, well.
I have a feeling Craig's listening, so I don't know if I should tell any. Oh, well, my favorite one to tell, though, is about how, you know, Craig is abnormally tall.
Yes.
And he's like 6'4", and I'm 5'5". Mm-hmm.
On a good day.
What do you mean on a good day? I am 5'5".
We'll see about
that. Whatever. Okay. Anyways, so we go to breakfast, and after we had breakfast, this whole place is packed. We went to Corner Bakery. Whole place is packed, and Craig wants to give me a hug before he leaves. And I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, hugs. I'm all about hugs. And then I realized my head came up to his nipple, and everyone's staring at us like we're the cutest couple ever. But
were you lactating? I mean, was he lactating, and were you sucking at his...
Yeah, I put a little milk in my hair. Yeah, uh-huh. A little milk in my hair later. I thought that was awkward.
He adopted you from a third world country.
Yeah. So after The State, though, Michael, wouldn't you say the one of the biggest things you did after that, well, it turned out to be a cult hit, is Wet Hot American Summer, which we all love as well.
Yes.
As an interviewer, when you start a question with, wouldn't you say, that's a very leading question.
I'm trying. I'm also a lawyer by night. No, I'm not.
You're badgering the witness at this point.
I get that often. So Wet Hot American Summer? Like, explain to me how you got involved with that project, and why do you think it turned out to be as special as it was? Because it really is a huge cult hit.
Yeah, it is. I was involved because Michael Showalter and David Wayne, who wrote it, I was doing Stella with at the time, and they were both members of The State, and they were making a movie, and they asked me to be in it, and I said okay, because I like being employed,
mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm surprised that it has retained its audience for 10 years. and people seem to be discovering it every day. But I mean, I think we knew when we were making it that it was going to find a cult audience. I think we were surprised that it's found such a large cult audience.
Yeah. And did you know, now how far along in casting were they when they casted you? Did you know who was going to be involved with that movie when you got involved?
I might have a little bit. I mean, I think I knew Janine was doing it, Janine Garofalo and David Hyde Pierce, and I think Molly Shannon was on board when I was cast. I think I knew Amy Poehler was on. I think I knew Paul Rudd was on. But a lot of the people like Elizabeth Banks and Bradley Cooper, they weren't known. I mean, nobody knew them, so they might have told me that they were doing it, but I wouldn't
right.
have any idea who they were.
Well, is there a possibility to see another one of those films?
I would say there is a possibility, but I don't know how great a possibility.
Okay, because there was a little rumbling on the interwebs that there...
I saw that.
Well, yeah, and do you know anything about it or nothing about it?
The internet, always a credible source of entertainment information.
Right.
I think David Wayne was interviewed, and he was talking about it, and I think he just basically told the truth, which was that he and Michael Showalter had been talking about it, and I know Paul Rudd and Elizabeth Banks said they would certainly do it, and I think Amy Poehler said she would do it. So I think the cast, and I think Bradley Cooper would probably do it too,
yeah.
I think the cast would be largely intact. I think the question is, can they get it together? I mean, it's hard to put a movie together. So I don't know. You know, I hope so. It would be great.
Yeah.
Because, again, I need the work. Not so much because I care so much about the movie, but I just need the work.
Well, that's funny that you bring that up, because I was wondering why you got involved in stand-up then. If you start out in sketch, when did you start getting involved in stand-up, and why?
Maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I mean, I'd been doing live comedy since the state, and then when Stella started, which is a three-man group with me, Michael Showalter, and David Wayne, that was a form of stand-up, but it was three guys.
Right.
And I'd always admired stand-up, but never really had the nerve to do it. And then I started getting offers from colleges to come and perform. And I basically said no, because I don't really do that. And then they said, well, we'll pay you all this money. And I said, I do that. And so I had to learn how to do it, because I basically started doing it for money.
And where did you learn? And that's why I was asking that question, because you're like, I need to work. I'm like, okay, so are you doing it for money? And then where did you learn how to do stand-up? What, were you hitting like really small clubs? Did you do the typical comedian thing with the open mic circuit? Like what do you...
No.
What Michael Ian Black do when you're already famous and you want to do stand-up?
You show up in front of 1,700 kids in Iowa and you start... Oh. And you do an hour of jokes.
That's scary.
That was my first show.
That was, I actually had a similar experience when I started stand-up. I wanted to do my first show, but like I did one open mic at the Comedy Store, and then I came back home to Chicago, and I did an hour-long show, my first show, for like 500 people, and it was so scary. It was like,
how did that happen?
Well, I just decided I'm going to do stand-up, and I wrote an hour act in my car when I was living in L.A. I was living in my car. I wrote an act. I ended up getting robbed, and my mom made me come home. And she's like, no more of this L.A. for you. No, no, no. And so I come home, and I'm like, well, I got an hour act. Why just do 5 minutes at here and there and whatever? And if I book a theater and charge for tickets, maybe I can make a buck off of doing a show, and we did. And, you know, I just did an hour set, and some of it was great, and then some of it you're like, oh, yeah, that needed work. And
right.
But really scary, because I didn't know it was scary during the show. It was before
right.
and after. I was sweating and so nervous, even after
right.
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like,
it's
during
terrifying.
The show, you're in the zone. I'm sure you're the same way, right? Well, you get into a zone when you perform.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you get up there, and then you just sort of let it go, and you do what you need to do to survive.
Right.
And so, yeah, you don't really have time to be nervous.
Right. Now, how
has
it worked?
But since then, I've gotten very good at it.
Yeah, no, you're very good, and I know, like, my sister, she's a big stand-up comedy aficionado, she considers herself, and she loves you. She thinks you're the best.
Oh, that's good, because I don't have any confidence in my own abilities. So I'm happy that some people seem to like it.
Yeah,
I like to pretend that I'm like overconfident, but really I have no confidence in my own abilities at all either.
It's a facade.
Yeah, it is a facade. You guys all catch on.
But,
okay, nice.
But in fairness, having listened to the show to this point, I would say that fear of yours is justified.
Oh, yeah. That was such a good moment.
Yeah. I feel like I should be doing sad conversations, except I'm not famous.
Yeah. It's too late to use that name for this show.
I'm just friends with famous people. That doesn't count. I'm like Kato.
Well, one, so far I've heard Craig Bierko, and honestly, he ranks pretty low.
That's all I needed. Now I feel better. Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, I love Craig, though. He's doing that Three Stooges movie right now. I can't wait for it.
Three Stooges. Who wants to see that?
I do.
Don't.
You don't, Katie Rose?
No, thank you.
Oh, okay. That's real nice. For our good friend, who's Craig.
I don't know Craig.
Who's he, Mo?
All over him.
Who's he playing?
He's playing the bad guy. One of the bad guys. It's him and Stephen Collins, I believe, are the baddies.
Wow.
Yeah, they're the villains.
That'll be fun.
But I did have a question for you then about Ed.
Okay.
Tell me about that experience working on that show, because I know it was a critically acclaimed show. It was like we had a guest on Monday, Mike Royce, who is the creator of Men of a Certain Age.
I know Michael.
Yeah, do you? Okay. Yeah, he's great. And the show's great. And critics love it, but the ratings aren't the best. And it was kind of that way with Ed.
With Ed.
And how do you go about as a cast member, like, knowing you're on a high-quality show, but the ratings aren't great? Like, what kind of expectations and thoughts do you have every year when the TV season comes to a close?
Well, you certainly think the first question is, are we getting picked up? And then once you get picked up, once I have the job, I don't give a shit about the ratings. I mean, yeah. I'm not thinking about it. It's different for me on that show because I wasn't a creator or a writer or anything. I was just showing up as an actor. So for me, all I could control was my performance, and the rest of it I didn't really think about particularly. I wasn't really paying attention to the ratings, and I was happy that the show was well received, and I thought it was a good show, and I loved the people on it. But I couldn't control anything, so I didn't spend any time worrying about it particularly.
Right. So then my next question then, though, is when Ed ends and Stella begins, how does that process happen?
We, as soon as Ed was over, me and Michael and David walked into Comedy Central and said, we want to do this show, and they said, okay. And then it took a while to sort of get it off the ground, but once we did, we made 10 episodes, and then they quickly canceled it. Because that's what they do at Comedy Central.
Yeah, that is what they do at Comedy Central, because I was going to ask you also later on, why didn't Michael and Michael get repicked up?
Oh, I loved that.
Yeah.
Same deal. Because they don't support their shows.
Well, and that's probably, though, why Comedy Central really hasn't had a breakout hit since Chappelle.
Network.
Yeah, Tosh.0, but that's not really a show.
That's true.
Creatively speaking, that network is in the toilet.
Yeah,
yeah,
and I say that with all the love I can muster, which is not much love.
Yeah, we were talking about TNT the other day and how I don't like what's going on in that network either. We get very intellectual about networks on this show for some reason.
If nothing else, yes.
we actually have a segment we get to after our guests, but we're going to have our guests join in. We do this segment called Dear Leslie, and we write emails to Les Moonves. And
CBS.
So we'll be able to talk to you about that at the end of the interview. But I also wanted to know, you were also on Reaper, and that was another cult show. It seems like now I don't know if you get this. Maybe your agents tell you this or whatever. But are you kind of have this cult following? You have an audience that will go see you and everything. And I kind of feel like every show you're on is just like, it turns out to be this cult hit, and why do you think that is? Is it because of you that they're getting this one audience, and then it doesn't blow up?
If they're showing up for me, it's certainly not a large enough audience because everything I'm on gets canceled. Mm-hmm. I am TV AIDS, I cannot keep a television show on the air.
But it's just a thing, like, maybe are people, like, because the same thing with Wet Hot American Summer, which you know, it had to gain sort of appreciation, and the movie The Baxter, which I liked, and the Stella Comedy Central show, which I really liked, in spite of it, it's just like completely being very different from the film shorts that you'd done. Mm-hmm. Do people just not get what you and Showalter and David Wayne are trying to do?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right.
All right.
I feel like this is a backhanded compliment to him. You're so great, but your show is bomb.
No, but like,
well, you know.
No, I don't know. I have no desire to be a cult hero. I have no desire to be a cult figure. I would like nothing more than to have mainstream success and then disappear. All I'm looking to do at this point is make enough money to fake my own death.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, that's all I really care about at this point, faking my own death. But for whatever reason, my sensibility and the sensibility of the culture do not seem to mesh. And that's just something I have had to learn to deal with.
Did you do any pilots this season, Mike? Or no?
I did a talk show pilot for E.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah, they didn't care for it.
They didn't care for it.
Surprise.
Chelsea Handler, they care for. Not so much Michael Ian Black. And that is the world.
Not as much.
That's the world I live in. I'm a little annoyed right now at this point in time. Now I kind of see where the sad conversations come
yeah,
from. Because I'm getting
right?
sad.
Right. You're burrowing into my psyche.
Yeah.
And you're sort of living vicariously my day-to-day life, which
we'll
is one disappointment heaped on another.
Oh,
so if you did fake your own death, how would you die?
I mean, I assume if you're going to fake your own death, best way to do it is explosion. Massive explosion.
Like jerking the wheel off to a ravine?
Oh, I thought you were going to say jerking off.
No.
All right.
It's not all about
that. No, what I would probably do, because, I mean, now we're talking about when I have my untold wealth, I would probably purchase a private, like, oil derrick and build a sort of fantasia on that oil derrick and then blow the thing up. and then everybody would say, oh, what a disappointment. He spent all that money building Xanadu on his oil derrick, and then it all blew up. That's such a tragedy. Well, guess what? I'm living somewhere in the south of France now with extensive plastic surgery and a much younger wife and feeling very good about myself.
I just hope
that is
like,
a seamless plan.
Yeah.
No body parts, no evidence.
I just hope like Xanadu, he's roller skating on this oil rig. I hope there's roller skating.
Not that Xanadu.
Well, No. It would be all roller skating all the time. No, you got it exactly right. It would be... That would be rule number one. And I assume roller skating would play a key role in why the oil derrick exploded to begin with.
Yes.
Yes.
Like maybe
there would be some sort of roller skating mishap that ignited the oil derrick and incinerated everybody on board. And there's going to be a lot of casualties.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm on board roller skating. You're getting off.
Oh, yeah, you're dead. You're long gone.
Yeah,
no, I'm in the secret submarine. Dashing off to the south of France.
And me and Craig
my hundreds...
roller skating the love machine
would,
upstairs.
Yeah, you would need
right.
the roller skates to get around on the derrick because it's large.
Right.
It's massive.
Yes.
It's massive. Oh. I'm not purchasing one of these rinky-dink oil derricks.
No.
No. No.
Oh, when we yes and on the show, we do not kid around.
Well, I hope Craig Bierko's listening because he now knows he's dying on that oil derrick. There's no other option now.
I think the occasion for the explosion is probably Bierko's birthday.
Oh,
we're having a roller skating Craig Bierko birthday party.
Something
goes horribly wrong. The birthday cake is lit. It gets mixed up. Somehow there's roller skating. Spark ignites the birthday cake and then oil explodes and it's just a massive, massive explosion. And it's a tragedy for for Bierko fans.
And the cake is just decorated with oily rags and match heads.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think we'll ever know what exactly happened.
Well, I know we can fit all my fans on the ship, so we can go. The whole Matthew Aaron experience can go down that day. Now,
we'll get both of those guys. We'll bring those guys onto the derrick.
Now, I was wondering if both.
No,
all two of them.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Michael, I was wondering, when is your birthday? Because we're talking birthdays here. When's the
August 12th.
You're August 12th. I'm August 15th, and I believe Craig's August, like, 9th or something weird.
Are we really talking birthdays?
Yeah, we're Leos. No, but this is where I'm getting to. Oh. If you believe in that horoscope crap, here's the deal. Michael and I both have huge egos, but we both think we're complete utter failures. That's a Leo.
Well, you know, it's that's two sides of the same coin, of course.
Right.
You understand that.
Yes. So now it all makes sense.
The inflated sense of self is really just it's just trying to prop up a shattered psyche.
Yeah, Leos always think their talents are being underutilized.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. Well, in my case, that's true.
Yes. Mine are being overutilized at this point. Someone's
Look, let's
like,
put it this way.
Phone.
Yours are being utilized. Let's not put a judgment on how much or how little. They're being utilized. Just be grateful for that.
See, there's a backhanded compliment. That's nice. That's how it's done, Katie Rose, those backhanded compliments. Now, Michael, my booker, Pat Tobias, who you've been in touch with and is a great guy, and he's a huge fan of yours because he really likes two projects that you worked on but did not star in. And I mean more than worked on, Wedding Days and Run Fat Boy Run. And if you could talk to us first, I know he had a personal question here. He wanted to know, how was working with Jason Biggs on Wedding Days? He's a big fan.
Jason Biggs is a, and I say this in all sincerity, just a great guy. Just one of my, he's in my top 10 favorite guys.
Oh, that's nice.
He's just an awesome dude. And sucks a dick like you would not believe.
I was wondering how he got in that movie. Because I auditioned for the same role.
Did you really?
No. I was probably 12 when, 2004, how old was I? I think that was 2004. How old was I? 7 years?
Was
20.
Well, four.
I was 20.
We'll edit that.
What, Jason Biggs sucks a good dick? No, that's staying in.
No, that's staying in. You trying to figure out how old you are.
We're live. You don't edit anything out. We're live. Oh, I'll never figure out how old I really am. Okay. But Wedding Days, how did that opportunity come up, Michael? Because that's a kind of big opportunity.
Yeah, and I blew it. Oh, did I blow it.
Oh.
Don't
put on yourself.
it was a script that I wrote and
right.
directed. And made this little movie that MGM bought and then said, this is going to be great. It's going in 1,200 theaters. We can't wait to put this out. We really think it's funny. And then they just decided, yeah, we're not going to do anything with it. It's just going to go straight to DVD. And it was a very challenging time in my life.
Yeah.
To deal with that. But the experience of making a movie was great, and great in terms of like the education. It was really hard. I mean, I knew it would be, but directing and making movies, particularly on a small budget, is just hard. And I wasn't that good at it, to be honest. Like the movie has some funny things in it, and Jason's great in it, and the cast is all great in it. But like, I just didn't do a great job. You know, I'm just not a good director. And I didn't really know that until I directed. And when I got done, I sort of thought to myself, I'm not good at this. And consequently, I haven't directed anything really since. I mean, I directed some Michael and Michael Have Issues.
Yeah.
But I haven't made a big movie. And nobody's asked me to be fair.
Well, I will ask you to when I ever make my movie.
Thanks.
Yeah, Michael Ian Black's at the top of my director's list now.
Really?
Yeah, just out of pity.
What about
top of my list?
What about David? He does a lot of directing. He directed Role Models.
Eh.
All right.
Eh. He hasn't been on the show.
Okay.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck him. Now, the other question, and this is for, I'm bringing Katie Rose Cronin and Michael Ian Black together here, because
why?
Katie Rose's boss, Billy Deck, appeared in a film that Michael wrote called Run, Fat Boy, Run.
What was he in the movie?
Who knows?
He was, there was a scene with Itto, I think, or I don't even know what his name is in there. And there was like a gym and he was on a bike and they just flashed to him. He's besties with Schwimmer, so that's the connection there.
I see. So he's an extra in Front Cup.
Oh, yes. An extra, even if you
would call it. Oh, no lines?
No,
I don't remember.
No.
I don't remember.
He just likes to pop into Schwimmer's project
here
and there.
Oh,
that's
nice.
You know.
That's nice to have that opportunity.
Yeah, it is.
Shame I'm not besties with Schwimmer.
Nope.
Don't know how I feel about that right now.
Never going to
happen. That you're not besties with Schwimmer?
Yeah, you know, I don't think I'm missing much, to be honest.
You know what? I want to put you guys in a room together. I want to put you guys in a room together because I really think something special could happen as a result of that.
Yes, very special.
I love Schwimm.
Run, Fat Boy Run is a movie that I wrote and David Schwimmer directed, and it stars Simon Pegg. And that's a very sweet film. It's a very enjoyable, upbeat, good movie. Schwimmer did a great job, and Simon did a great job, and I'm happy to be associated with it.
Yeah, it sounds like at this point in time in your life, you could not write that movie with your sad, sad conversations. It's too happy. It's too joyful.
No way.
Did we lose him?
No way.
I think we lost him.
No way.
Well, he's still there, supposedly. Hello? Hello? Michael?
He's like, thank God.
No, dreaded internet.
We did lose him. Hopefully he calls back. We'll just hold the phone. Hold the phone.
He's probably like throwing
calm down
his phone into a pond.
Oh, do you think we drove him to life?
No.
He's buying that oil rig right now.
If he dies tonight, the last thing we ever said was, at this time in your life, with the sad, sad conversation. Oh,
that.
My God. Oh, I feel terrible. Oh, he's calling in.
Okay, good.
Was this a hilarious...
Hello, Michael?
Hi, my phone
died. You're alive. Okay. Whew.
No, I wasn't. I was not going to kill myself.
Okay.
If that's what you're worried about.
I was.
Not before I jerk off, guys. Come on. We talked about this. Give me a little credit.
I can never kill myself after I jerk off because I go right to sleep.
Right.
Like, just when I want to kill myself, I run out of energy, and I'm, like, asleep.
Sleep is what you do after a workout.
Like, I find a butcher's knife under my pillow in the morning, and I'm like, what's that doing there?
Where are those pills
from? Yeah.
Oh.
I never opened them. Yeah. Mm. Life. So back to Davy Schwimms.
Yeah, anyway.
No.
What do you mean, no? That's his nickname, Davy Schwimms.
Okay.
When I see him on the street, I say, Davy Schwimms, loved you in that Friends television show. I loved you in the Paul Bear. You and Gwyneth lit up the screen. Just tears of joy. Any Hoosers, back to Davy Schwimms and working on Run the Fat Boy Run. We were talking about Simon Pegg. And
oh,
boy, is he
him.
Blown up. He's good.
Yeah. Oh, he's great. I mean, what a smart, talented guy that guy is. Fuck him, right?
Yeah, fuck him. And you know what I also thought was interesting? I like that Hank Azaria and you work together because I think that's like the perfect match.
Me and Hank?
If you were gay and Hank was gay, perfect couple.
Really?
Yeah. Really do. Though that
I can see that working. I mean,
yeah. Too many alpha.
We have a lot.
Oh. Are you both too alpha for a relationship?
I think we're both too... I think we'd actually be a pretty good gay couple.
Yeah, I think so too. And as long as Hank doesn't keep butting into your like comedy bits with like, and
with
he gets like an idea from you, and then he starts doing impressions and doing it way over the top, then you're getting annoyed, and then someone's sleeping on the couch, and it's just
right. That could be a deal breaker if he starts doing Abu or whatever the fuck that character's name is. When I'm trying to roll out one of my genius bits. Yeah, we're going to have some words.
Uh-huh.
But I tell you what I like about Hank. One, he's rich.
Yeah.
So I would be happy to be kept by him.
Yes.
Two, he is a fanatical poker player, which I also am.
Me too.
So between us, I feel like, you know, we could have like a nice little relationship based on his money and poker.
I feel like, Michael, if you don't work long enough, you and I may bump into each other at the same poker games. You, me, and Butch Patrick sitting around a table playing cards.
That's entirely possible.
That would be a highlight of my life and the low light of your life. It's like colliding.
It would be a perfect
point of intersection
yeah.
of me plummeting down and you skyrocketing up.
me and Butch Patrick, and when Eddie Munster takes all our money, that's it.
Oh, you didn't have to say who Butch Patrick was.
I did for Katie Rose Cronin.
I totally right. didn't know who you were talking about.
She's like, Butch who? Is he gay?
I would never say that.
Oh, you didn't think he was gay?
No.
Just his name's Butch.
No.
All right.
Never crossed my mind.
How old is Butch Patrick?
How old is Butch Patrick? I'm friends with him on Facebook.
What
okay.
that?
That doesn't answer my question, but yeah. okay.
Wait. But now I'm gossiping. You got me yenting here, Michael. He has cancer right now, which is really sad. He is like 60 something, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Is it good cancer or bad cancer? Because you can have good cancer.
He makes everything sound bad because right now I think he's ran out of Eddie Munster money and he's dealing cards in like some low casino in like Vegas, maybe. But
He can be on the oil rig.
And this is all allegedly. This could be a fake Butch Patrick account that's just really detailed.
Who would do such a thing to Butch Patrick?
Not me. Butch is 1953, so he's 58. He's 58,
okay.
according to my math.
Okay.
That's about right. That sounds about right. I was a huge fan of the Munsters. What kind of TV were you into when you were younger, Michael? Or movies, TV movies? What were some of your faves?
Well, there's a difference between faves and the things that I watched, because at the time, and we're talking about, I'm 26, so we're talking about the mid-90s, you did not have the kind of options for just on-demand viewing that you might have, the kids have today. So I grew up with The Brady Bunch and Gilligan's Island and The Munsters and I Love Lucy all in repeats.
Right, of course. Nick at Night.
From 20 or 30 years ago. And I didn't like any of them, but I watched them religiously.
But 80s television was pretty good. Cheers? Were you into Cheers or like...
Yeah, I was into Cheers and Family
Ties
and Cosby Show. And
I could imagine you watching Family Ties with the episode where Tom Hanks plays the drunk cousin who punches Michael J. Fox... And I could imagine that was like you really enjoyed that. You were sitting at your TV with like
really
ice
detailed.
Cream and Dr. Pepper.
Well, certainly Dr. Pepper, although that was an acquired taste. I wasn't mature enough for Dr. Pepper as a teen.
Ah.
But I certainly recall the Tom Hanks episodes and certainly recall enjoying them, but I wasn't enjoying them in an ironic way. There was nothing like, oh, isn't it funny that this is happening? I was very invested in Tom Hanks' drinking problems.
Yeah.
And I was really hearing that cry for help.
Well, I think Larry Crown is the next cry for help. I think he's back on the sauce, honestly. My opinion.
I've seen the trailer. I agree.
Yeah, my opinion. Back on the juice. But that's cool. I'm a big Tommy Hanks guy, I guess. I don't know, whatever.
That's really going out on a limb.
I actually thought Michael Ian Black was in That Thing You Do until I realized he would have been probably like 20, and no, he wasn't in it. But I thought...
But I was probably the right age. I probably could have been in it.
You would have been perfect in that, yeah.
I wasn't invited to be in that movie.
Oh.
There's a lot of movies I wasn't invited to be in.
Michael, do you know Tom Hanks has a son that goes to Northwestern and he's a rapper?
Of course I know.
Oh, my God. How great is that?
Dick. Is Look,
he good?
I no. enjoy Chet Hayes as much as
Chet
the next
Hayes.
Guy.
Yes! Oh, you know about Chet Hayes. Okay, Chester.
I know about Chet Hayes.
Chester, have you heard his music, though?
I have, and I don't know that he's any worse than any other white kid who goes to Northwestern who fancies himself a rapper. He just has the unfortunate distinction of being Tom Hanks' kid. And, you know, that sucks for him.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear this.
Craig Bierko went to Northwestern, and I think he raps.
Craig?
Yeah. Back to the Craig.
Is Craig also related to Tom Hanks?
Yes, I believe he is, and I believe that's the reason he has a career.
Right.
He's son of Tom Hanks.
It's certainly not the singing ability if you saw The Music Man.
I did not.
I'm totally kidding. I did not.
We have a phone call. Hold on. Paulie, is this you?
Hello?
Hey, who's calling? Who is
Hello?
This? Who is this?
Sarah.
Oh,
Hi,
my
Matt.
God. my sister and my mother.
Hi,
I'll,
Matthew.
Oh.
It's Auntie J.
Hello, Aunt J.
No way.
Okay, here we go. All right.
Did you hear Uncle Richard say hi, too?
Oh, no, I didn't. Jeez. But Michael...
Hey, Uncle Richard.
Oh, hey, Uncle Richard. Okay. Say hello to Michael.
You. We thought you were coming.
I was going to come, but I got an interview here with Michael Ian Black.
On the show.
Yeah, I know you're mad.
I couldn't pass it up.
I can't even hear them.
Well, good. And I hope you make out.
Make out in your pool.
Well, you can make out with Katie Rose if she's there.
Oh!
What?
This is
Martisa.
Oh!
Martini.
Is Michael still with us, Stephen?
I think we have a sad, sad conversation
I'm hanging on every word of this. I'm not going anywhere. This shit just got real.
Just went from 6 to midnight.
Sarah, why did you call in? Did you want to ask Michael something? I know he's one of your faves.
Oh, Sarah adores him, but right now I just want to know, does Michael know you're broadcasting from my basement?
Oh, for Christ.
We mentioned that.
Did you? Good, I'm glad. Here's Sarah.
Gosh. I saw that. I had saw on Twitter that he's going to have a special on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, why don't you plug your special then, Michael?
I will.
Plugged it for him.
Okay, yeah.
Send me a check in the mail.
Oh, my God.
It's my first stand-up special. It's on in August, August 6th.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. My birthday. All right.
Last comic standing. I can't.
Was it your last comic standing?
Yeah.
Are they just shouting out three-word phrases?
Hey, Matt. I'm going to call back and just listen for a while, so just don't answer us.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm not going to. Don't worry about it. We're good.
I love you.
Oh, love you more. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, honey. I love you.
Okay, Ma. Michael, and you think you have sad, sad conversations?
No. I just got a peek behind the curtain, and I may not recover.
I'm doing a show out of my mother's basement.
How do you find yourself in these circumstances? I know that your viewers probably know the story, but I don't.
I just graduated college. I'm working. I wrote a pilot that I don't have the money to live in L.A. at the moment. So I wrote a television pilot that I'm sure will never get made. And I think it's very good. But I decided until then I got to do something and I got to connect with all the Hollywood types. So I figured I'd do a show from my basement, and I bought all this sound equipment and everything, and I decided, you know, I quit Second City because I got sick of it, and I'm like, I'll just be funny at home, and I can never leave the house, and my
mother. Yeah, that's not depressing at all. No, this is a real uplifting Horatio Alger rags-to-riches kind of story.
It's definitely going to be rags to rags, yes. Yeah. I'm not expecting much riches in the middle
You got half the equation. You got the rags.
Yes, yes, we do have the rags, and they are filthy from jerking off.
Yeah, and we are going to somewhere. Rags to. We are wherever's coming next.
Yeah, week. Rags to, they take my rags away, and I have nothing. Okay. It won't even be rags.
Whatever is coming next, we are arriving there.
Rags and lint.
Yes.
Well, good for you, because a lot of guys wouldn't even have the gumption to buy the audio equipment and set up in their basement.
Oh, no, not people the gumption to be this big of a loser, no.
No.
We have another phone call. Do I dare?
No. You know what? This is
Hello, who's calling in? You're on with Matthew Aaron and Michael Ian Black and crew.
What's up, guys? It's Paulie.
Paulie! Oh, thank fucking God. Okay, let's talk about this. What's it called again with the web stream or the Twitch stream?
Which stream?
Witstream, thank you. Michael Ian Black, this is Paulie Casilla, who goes under Paulie Pellegrosso and not Gary Busey on Twitter. And
I know his work. He's very funny.
I should bring you two together. So go ahead, Paulie. Talk with Michael.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. I love the site. Genius idea.
Thank you very much, and you're great on it.
Thank you. I feel like I'm the least mature there because everyone's real political and current event type. And, I mean, it's hard to, you know, you're up against writers for Conan and big comedy heads and writers for Family Guy and stuff like that. And it's just fun to mingle with them, and you feel like you almost feel like one of them on that side when you got, you know, when you make the blacklist and stuff like that.
Well, I would say that it's not, well, first of all, it's not a competition, and we're just looking for funny people, and you're a funny person. And Witstream, for your listeners, is a website that I'm involved with that is, it's sort of like, it's just Twitter for funny people. So we sort of handpick the funniest people that we can find and put them on this site, and they write funny things all day. And so whenever you want to laugh, you just go on Witstream and spend 5 minutes on it and get some laughs and get out. And Paulie is one of our star contributors. He's very funny.
He's great. Paulie, how's the kid doing? Everything good, buddy?
Oh, yeah, she's doing good.
All right.
She's with the girlfriend right now. I'm here at the comedy club about to go on in a couple. So
please do well for me, huh?
I'll try. I'll give it my all.
All right,
do well for America, not just for Matthew. Do well for Matthew and me, and the whole country is rooting for you now.
Yes.
And Matthew.
And Matthew, yes.
That's not a whole lot of pressure, but...
No pressure, but we really need this. As a nation, we need this.
And Paulie, the Kardashians are rooting for you, too. I just hope you know.
Right. Especially that one girl.
I hope so.
Yeah, Chloe is rooting for you, pal.
Chloe, yeah, the linebacker?
Yes, the linebacker.
You never see Chloe and Adam Richman from Man vs. Food in the same room. That's
why. Oh my gosh.
I shouldn't laugh at that because she's rich and I'm poor.
No, you should laugh at it for that reason.
What, you would do her in a heartbeat. I hope you're kidding. If she came down here and
I don't think I'm her type.
Because you're not her.
I didn't say anything about black, Katie Rose. Wait for you to go there.
I
was
going
to say I'm not a basketball player. God. That's what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Paulie, I'm really glad you joined me, man. I'm really glad, and you're one of the best. And I wanted to introduce you to Michael, and I'm glad you finally got to chat it up. And keep doing your thing, pal, and we should talk soon.
I appreciate it, man. Witstream.com, check it out, the best of Twitter.
Yes, sir.
Have a great show.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later.
Thank you,
sir. You keep it up.
He's a really nice guy.
Nice fella.
Yeah, and he tells, like, the dirtiest jokes on Twitter, but he's the nicest guy.
Very nice. And why does he sound so miserable? What's his problem?
Because we're all comedians, Michael. But here's the thing. I'm tired of that being an excuse because, like, you know, Louis C.K., claims all the time how, like, depressed and miserable he is and shit. Oh, you're filthy rich and you have a show on TV. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, no, it's still...
I'm sorry. I don't care. What you can't tell me, living in my mother's basement, dirt poor, that you're more depressed and miserable than I am. Please.
No, but I think we can say shut the fuck up.
Yes, no, absolutely could do that.
You whining little bitch. Shut the fuck up.
That was my sad conversation. Oh, Gordo.
Matt, don't you know? It comes from walking around and looking at how stupid everyone is and feeling depressed about that.
I need to get out of stand-up because people are too depressing. I want to be around happy people like Craig Bianco.
I don't know that people are any more depressed in stand-up than they are anywhere else. It's just that they get paid to talk about it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
True.
I just don't want to hear it. No. I have to deal with it enough.
Right, so why are you playing poker? Because those fuckers are the worst in the world.
Because I'm really good at poker. I'm really good at it. And I actually like taking...
So good that you're living in your mother's basement.
Well, here's the thing. You could be really good at $20 games of poker and still not be able to pay the rent.
Well, if you were really good at poker, you wouldn't be playing $20 games of poker.
I don't have startup money, Michael.
I love you, Michael.
I got nothing.
If you're good at poker, you'd have something. I mean, I'm just trying to help you out.
If you're
going around with the self-delusion that you're great at poker, you're not going to get anywhere in this life.
It is a self-delusion. I'm glad you set me straight on that. Who doesn't?
How good could you be? Kids your age are internet millionaires for playing poker.
Do you understand? Mm-hmm. I got to do those dishes after you cut everything with the pizza and shit. You're dirtying up my dishes. people down here eating pizza and cutting and like.
I thought you were being metaphorical.
No.
And I thought it was kind of deep.
No, the show.
Oh, yes.
No,
I was.
The show did just not just get really deep. No.
Yes, I was being extremely deep.
No, a guy's literally cutting a pizza. Why don't they cut the pizza? What's.
Yeah, that's fucking gay. And I don't mean gay in a bad way. Whatever that means.
It's like a giant hors d'oeuvre.
This is so annoying when people get food during my fucking show. Uh-huh. They get food during my every week,
you
Michael.
Hate that.
This is what I go through every show. They get pizza. They eat it in front of me. It smells. It makes the room hotter. They dirty up all my dishes. Oh,
how much are you paying them to be on the show?
$0.
All right, so shut the fuck up.
Thank you.
Yes, but the person eating isn't working on the show. He's just hanging out.
He's hanging out there giggling.
Wow, and he has a huge murderer's knife. Jesus.
Yeah, and that murderer's knife, I got to clean. And that's kill myself knife. Don't cut pizza with that.
No, you're using a rope, remember?
What happens if I can't get the knife far enough into me because there's sausage stuck to it or something?
I think you'll secretly love that.
I am fat. I'm so fat, I bought a Pepperidge Farm cookie candle today to make the room smell more like cookies.
Like Milano's.
No, it's lit over there. I forget. I think it's cinnamon swirl.
Were you embarrassed?
If I was thin, I wouldn't have been. But I do know the lady at the Ultra Save real well, so I didn't feel too embarrassed.
She's like, oh, you'll love this.
Yes, but I always make that joke when I'm fat and buying fatty things. I'm like, I'm fat. And then I, throw the fatty things on the...
To me, the embarrassing thing isn't so much that you're buying scented candle that smells like cookies. It's that you're buying scented candles.
Oh, you don't like scented candles? You just like regular candles.
I don't find myself buying scented candles with any frequency.
How do you keep your house smelling well, Michael?
My farts smell like magic.
Well, yeah, and the fact that you thought it was worth mentioning on your podcast also.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Oh, man, this show is rough.
So in our letter to Les Moonves today, Michael, do you have anything you'd like me to say to him?
I'm a big fan of all the great shows on CBS.
And
all the shows about solving crimes, and all the shows about people on islands. I like
about
the show where they pretend overweight people can have relationships. I like that show.
Right.
Yeah, because I can tell you that's not true.
All the stuff they're doing.
Solving crimes.
Because my dear Les today is strictly about Michael Ian Black.
Okay.
I have a pitch for Les Moonves, but I did want to get Michael's intake. Now Caesar's eating.
Well, you didn't get my question.
Who asked you to eat? Who told you to eat? Oh, God.
Guys. Let's start to... Oh,
The fuck out of here with potato chips. The fucking noise. Jeez. The bag.
They discontinued.
Throw those out anyways. They're old. You're going to chip a tooth. Oh, my God. This is so embarrassing. People
if anyone
sometimes.
Could see the scene,
oh.
It is embarrassing.
Now there's more people calling. I want to answer it?
We got to get to this letter.
Oh, okay. So, dear Les. Okay.
Okay.
So, I put in Michael stuff. So, here's my dear Les for the day. So, help me out, Lee and Katie Rose. We're writing a letter to Les Moonves. Who brings pop by electrical equipment?
Okay, take it easy. Deep breath.
Okay. I kind of have a boner right now. All right. Okay. Dear Les. Les, I hope my last correspondence found you well. Is that a good start?
Yes.
Okay. I hope my last correspondence found you well. I hope you and Julie enjoyed Chili's, which I recommended to you as the restaurant of the day.
How were the fajitas?
Did you enjoy the margaritas? Les, why haven't you made a show yet with Michael Ian Black as your lead? I'll tell you why. You didn't have the perfect idea. I do. NCIS Boise. It's about agents in Boise, Idaho, who stop all those evil potato farmers from causing trouble. It stars Michael Ian Black and Catherine Zeta-Jones. Are you interested, Les? Please get a hold of me if you are. You have my digits. I left them in my last email I sent to you regarding the Chili's. being the new golf course for making deals.
Yes.
Golf course is out. Chili's is in. Love you, the Matthew Aaron Show. Love you's a little strong.
Can we add?
How about XOXO?
What if
XOXO, speak to you soon. Tell Julie I said hello.
Mm-hmm.
What about, is there anything Michael wants to add to the letter?
Well, Michael added, big fan of all the great shows about crime solving and islands and overweight people having relationships. I think that was really good. Okay.
Okay,
and send. Anything else, Michael?
No, I think it's a great idea. I'm, you know, obviously, you know, the big question is, who do you get first? You know, does Catherine jump on before I jump on? Do I jump on before Catherine jumps on?
Catherine,
it's a little bit, it's a little bit of a juggling act.
That's the thing. He's not saying yes to this immediately.
Yeah, and I don't think Catherine jumps on until you're on, because she's going to want to work with you.
Absolutely.
It ain't the other way around on that ship. No.
No, but I mean, you know. Look, I got to protect myself in this. And do I want to carry this whole thing? You know, what if Catherine says no and I've already signed on?
Well,
with talent, I'm sure. Les is good at that.
Yeah.
What, you know, what if it's a hit and it winds up going on for years and years, like Law and Order? You know, you're committed to this thing.
Right. And I don't have Catherine, you know, helping to shoulder some of the burden here. You know, do I want to do it? Sure. You know, it sounds like a great project. I think the premise is fresh.
Yeah.
I think it's got a lot of potential.
Yeah.
And you're going to pay through the nose for my services.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's CBS money. Absolutely.
But look, everybody's going to dip their beak in this. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's going to make a little something something.
Okay.
That's
good. We all play.
We're all going to be in the end, let's not be penny wise and pound foolish. We're all going to cash some fat checks and you know, I think with this and with a couple other irons I got in the fire, that oil derrick can become a reality sooner rather than later.
Oh, and nothing will get that oil derrick quicker than a hit television show on the CBS.
That's what I'm saying.
Look at Ben Matlock, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of the Matlock.
So we were just talking earlier
about
Chicago not putting out really stars. So much.
We have another call. Do I answer it? No.
Oh, God, okay. I was on a topic.
Go ahead. Well, who cares about your topic?
No, but.
Hold on. Let's just take the call real quick.
Okay.
Chicago. Yeah. Remember it. Hello, you're on the phone with Matthew Aaron and Michael Ian Black. Who is this?
Yo, this is Andy from the Andy Deer Show.
The Andy Deer Show. All right. Andy, hi. How you doing? You want to say hello to Michael, I'm sure, because you've never called in otherwise.
No, I love the Matt Aaron Show. I've been a big fan. I love Michael Ian Black. Love the State all the way back 1993 to 95. How you doing, Michael Ian Black?
I'm great. How are you?
I am very good. And, I do a little music podcast myself, and I've been talking to Craig Wedren. I know he's been he was David Wayne from the State, his roommate in college. Do you have any friendship with Craig Wedren of Shudder to Think?
So you're calling in the show to get me to talk to Craig to go on your show?
No.
Is that what's happening? Is that what's happening?
Is that what you're doing? I'm going to mute you, you son of a bitch.
I want to stick my balls in. No.
In pudding?
No, I just want to say, Michael, love your work. I mean, a big fan all the way back in the days.
Andy,
love the Reno 911 stuff.
Right.
Anything to do with Craig Wedren. Just because he's Shudder to Think, he's a singer of Shudder to Think, and I know that you guys, Showalter, you and David Wayne, were all friends with him. Any memories from back in the day?
Well, Craig, who is now and has been for a long time, totally bald, shaved his head, for a long time looked like Chewbacca in terms of hair growth. Was as close to looking like Chewbacca as any man I have ever met.
I think he's
good. That's all I got for you.
I hung up on Andy a while ago, Michael. I'm sorry. No, we were listening.
No more calls.
Well, especially from people who probably just smoked an ounce of weed before they called in.
Yes.
Okay, Lee, you had a question about Chicago.
Yeah, listen, yeah, no, because we were just talking earlier in the show about how you don't see Chicago as a putter out of stars, and also with comedy, and I'm you know, doing stand-up in the city also, and it's just not a place. Everybody moves to New York or L.A., and you're someone who's worked in a lot of different mediums, on stage, movies, TV, writing, the backwash is now the internet and all that, I think that Chicago is trying to put more people on the map. How can a city, because you're pretty involved with the New York scene, how can a city sort of put itself on the map more as a stand-up city, or just put out more people, more stars?
Oh, so Oprah doesn't count to you. Oprah is just nothing to you. Is that what
Oprah
you're saying?
It's so dead to me, it's not even funny.
Oprah is just meaningless.
Yeah.
You have the Second City. Nobody has produced more comedic American comedic stars than Chicago. What are you talking about?
Not really.
What you're saying, what you're saying is
anymore.
You are not a star and are resentful and want to know how you can become a star.
Lee, do you have any response to that?
No, well, we've had – there's all right, so there's Hannibal Buress came out of Chicago recently. He's very talented.
Yeah.
T.J. Millard, who's now doing movies and stuff like that. Don't enhance my commentary with tiny fart sounds. Oh, we are so above that.
No, we're not.
Oh,
we're definitely
not
above fart sounds. Mm-hmm. No.
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 Did you have something? Is there a question to this, Lee?
Oh, Matt.
Is there a question, or is it just you want to become a star?
Well, no, it's...
I know how you could become a star. Do you want the answer?
Yeah. I'd like to hear it.
Okay.
You know about that back hair you have?
Oh, God.
I have an idea and a plan.
Okay.
Take off your shirt. I will film a show. We will remake Harry and the Hendersons. No makeup.
Okay.
And I'll get Lithgow to return.
Okay.
Promise.
Oh, he's good. Can you
promise.
Get him?
Promise.
Can you get him?
Oh, I... Phone call away. Johnny Lips and I?
Okay.
Yeah.
You got Malkovich from Chicago?
Yeah,
Gary Sinise from Chicago, all kinds of great actors.
I was kind of talking more specifically about stand-up, though, because a club, I mean, Zany's, you know, the owner tells everybody to move
Bert Haas. Don't get me started on Birdie Boy.
You can't make a name for yourself in stand-up in this town. And
there you go. There's the answer. No.
No?
No, because the business, because the industry isn't in Chicago. So if you want to make a name, you got to go to New York or L.A.
Correct. I agree. Next question. Katie Rose, what do you have for Michael? Anything?
No questions. I'm just enjoying this extremely.
Extremely?
Extremely.
You are the one. Enjoy. You must really be into like some like whips and chains and stuff, right?
Because I'm enjoying Michael Ian Black.
Well, I thought you meant me. You're not enjoying me, though?
No, not so much.
It's just Michael.
You're disgusting me.
Okay. I'm not going to ask him that question, Caesar. It's a stupid question. It's boring. Michael, where's your favorite casino?
Why are you asking that?
Do you want the real answer?
Yes.
For poker, which is all I play, there is no better poker paradise than the Commerce Casino in the city of Commerce, in Los Angeles, California.
All right. There we go. The Commerce Casino. Are you happy now, Caesar? I'm asking you. Are you happy? Thank you.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
And get that pop away. Okay, it is. Oh.
All right.
I feel
like we've really gone through the gamut here.
We really have.
We've had some highs. We've had some lows.
When did we have highs? Did we have highs?
Well, we've had some lows. And
he's calling in again.
No, don't
Why?
Answer.
Don't answer.
You're gonna answer too.
Is he drunk?
No, he must be.
Hi.
Oh,
stupid. I do love Andy though, but no, I'm not answering.
Don't answer. No.
Michael, let's plug your special on August 6th. Comedy
August
Central.
6th, Comedy Central. The special is called Very Famous.
Oh.
And it's me.
And it's just you.
Yeah.
And it's called Very Famous. Got it.
Yeah.
And withstream.com, which Michael, what are you, half owner of? Is it like 50-50?
No, but I'm vested.
Proprietor? Oh, investor.
Yeah.
Vester.
No, I'm vested, not
Elon. Oh, vested. Oh.
I'm vested.
So we want to do the Witch Stream. Do you have any movies coming out or anything? Anything interesting?
No.
You were in Take Me Home tonight, were you not? I just saw that recently. I could swear you were in it.
I was, yeah.
Yeah, that was filmed a few years ago, though, wasn't it? Or am I wrong?
Yeah, it sat on the shelf for a little while, and then they released it.
You were funny in it. You were, and Dimitri Martin was funny in it, too.
Yes, he was.
I enjoyed it. I actually enjoyed that movie. I wasn't expecting to be honest,
right.
But it was good.
Well, I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, and I'm glad you came on the show, Michael. And
it was
a real
pleasure. I want to do it every week.
All right, now, Michael, don't lie to
what?
Me. But we would like to have you on again sometime if you don't hate us that
much. Come on again at some point.
Well, you know, we're going to be doing that tweet-a-thon soon for Loma Linda. We'd love to have you back for that.
Bierko hipped us too.
Yeah, Bierko, you know, he's going to want you to do something for him too for it. But, you know, whatever.
Whatever, right?
Yeah,
we can only do so much. We can only give so much. We are givers.
Our hearts
are only so big. We can only give what our hearts can hold.
I just think, honestly, though, this has been a really big pleasure for me. I think you're one of the funniest guys going, and I think a lot of people would agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're actually a complete sweetheart. I was expecting you to be a dick.
Thank you. Thank you for expecting me to be a dick.
Thank you
for revising your opinion.
I was thinking you were so famous that, like, Michael Ian Black's going to come on here and shit all over my face.
Maka.
But thank you for getting my hipster friends who worship you to listen to the first episode of this podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Asshole.
No. That's that. Yeah.
I think, having heard what I heard of this podcast, I think it's going to be a huge, huge hit for you guys.
Sarcasm duly noted. Michael.
Well, what can I say? Everything that I say sounds sarcastic, even when it is.
Michael, thank you so much. And let us know if you want to come on again. We'd love to have you.
Thank you guys so much. This was really fun, and good luck with it.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael.
All right. Take care, guys.
You too.
Yep. How lovely.
Yeah.
One person I know.
He's kind of nice.
Yeah. I like him.
I was expecting Dick. But he was nice. He was good. He was good people.
There's definitely a period where I'm just like, oh, man.
I don't know if I was expecting Dick. I was expecting, like, disinterest.
Well.
Smug.
Smug,
that's
yes,
for sure.
That was good. But he was not
but
any of those
along
things.
But he played with everything.
No, he was actually very funny and very classy. And, you know, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. What's next?
Oh, I don't know, other than Caesar talking to Lee while we're working. Let's play a song, take a little break. I'm tired.
Lenny not here yet.
He's such a D-bag.
What a diva.
All right. Oh, I had a burp.
Oh, God.
I stepped away from the mic.
This has been our most dyspeptic show.
What was your favorite part of the interview, real quick? You and Katie Rose. What did you enjoy?
Oh,
about
by
that?
Far talking about the faking of the death. Are you
that
kidding?
Was funny. That was really funny.
Just all of
I think
yeah.
we broke. I think we broke some news there.
Yeah.
I think we broke some news. I did not know it would be on an oil barrack.
That was nice. We were all sort of collectively building a scenario together.
Yeah. Not so much. Not so much me.
No.
I was just feeling like really depressed and shitty.
Got to use your imagination. It's just
yeah.
a fun convo.
You have to imagine it.
I've had enough of talking to you two, even. Oh, we should take a break, though. But I don't know if that's happening.
Okay.
I can't get the song to play.
My fire, the one desire, believe when I say I want it that way. But we are two worlds apart, can't reach to your heart when you
shut up about the fucking pizza.
Oh.
Swear to God. No, I don't want any. I don't want any pizza. Leonard.
Ain't nothing but a heartache. Tell me why. I never want to hear you say, I want it that way.
It was on every channel. It was on MTV every 4 seconds.
No.
That's not the explanation Katie Rose is looking
for. We all have sisters. We you know.
Katie Rose, what are you looking for here? You're searching.
Well,
because
we're all like, oh, we're losing our viewers over this, and then it comes on, and you guys are all harmonizing with it. Come on.
I think it's awesome. Do we have Bye Bye Bye?
Yes, we do. That's our closing song.
We like it,
first of all, I was clearly pantomiming the harmonizing of it.
I don't think so.
What's that? Oh, yeah.
Oh, let's... Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah,
Lenny, we'll play it at the end. Where the fuck are you?
Yeah, what...
I-55 went down to one lane, so I'm literally just getting off the expressway at Central.
I thought you were supposed to be here for this big interview.
I was, and 55 went down to one fucking lane.
So you're at Central? That's your house.
Overnight construction.
Are you familiar with Michael Ian Black, Lenny?
We went over this. Remember, he thought he was on Men of a Certain Age.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was the one that wrote it.
Loved you on Men of a Certain Age, Michael.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll go.
I thought he was the one that wrote it.
That's Mike Royce.
Oh, there's Mike's, and what's Michael Ian Black?
Oh, there's more than one guy named Mike.
You know what? If Michael Ian Black got a huge ego from us at the end of the interview, if he's still listening, it just went right in.
Quiet it now.
What's Michael Ian Black?
I'm sure he got...
No offense, Leonard.
You know what? I'm sure he got a huge ego from doing this show because this is the biggest interview he's done.
Ma, why are you calling again?
Hi.
Ma?
Hello.
Oh, all right. I'm hanging up on you so you could listen. Listen. Just, okay, bye.
Is Marcus Ian Black still there? I think he's hilarious.
Marcus Ian Black. All right, Leonard.
Yes.
So are we, like, not expecting you then now?
No, because fucking I got off the expressway at fucking Central.
Probably going to go see your girlfriend is what's going on here.
Oh. No, I'm definitely going home.
I know what's going on.
No, you don't. I am going home. On my mother's eyes, I am going home.
All right. On your mother's eyes, I believe you.
So what we got going tomorrow night? I got a dinner at Tofano's about 7 or 8 o'clock tomorrow.
Did
I got to go to
Tofano's?
What?
Did you say Tofano's?
Yeah, Tofano's. So I'm thinking we could do a little, you know, bounce here, bounce there. I mean, you know.
Sadly, I totally understand that. Yes, we could do some bouncing.
Oh, guys, go on one of your legendary nights out.
Oh, God. I think we haven't had one in a while, and the fact that our dear friend Alex let us down again.
Alex,
how did Alex let us down?
How did you let Lenny
down? Wasn't he supposed to have a party?
Oh, he was supposed to have a party tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow.
He says it's on.
He's not here. I'm going to invite him.
He says you're not here. You were going to get an invitation if you were here. He has cards.
You can FedEx my invitation. I expect a priority overnight delivery to Cicero, Illinois.
I got a spike. It's parked in front of my house.
He said you could park even in front of his house, which sounds like a deal to me.
Great. So what time are we supposed to go there? I mean, you're going to get naked and wear our swim trunks and Hawaiian-themed shirts?
Did you say naked at some point in there? Did I hear a naked?
I slipped that in there. It happens. It's Freudian.
Yeah, you meant Hawaiian shorts and Hawaiian shirts and...
There's Tilted Kilt Bra.
Bring out the coconut bra.
No one under the age of 21, right? It got really silent in here.
Yeah, wow.
Really, really silent. If it's women, it's, you know, illegal, and we do not sponsor such things, but it's okay.
You got some tilted kilt women in
here. If it's men, I could live without that.
Yeah.
You know, and my mother and my sister are listening to this show, and we're talking about a bunch of 26, 27-year-old men partying with 20-year-old broads. That's not going to go over.
Listen, listen. That's called the fountain of youth.
Okay, Leonard, why don't you tell... Oh.
Hey, she said it was okay.
Oh.
Katie Rose is my mother. Good to know.
Why would they care?
My mom?
That's not...
What do you think's going to be going on
that's
at
not
this
the most,
party?
Probably not everything you hope would go on. Well, actually, with Tilted Kilt Girl, yeah, probably.
Yeah. But drinking, though, under 21, I don't support that. I don't like that. No. I don't like that. It's illegal.
You never had a drink when before
never.
The age of 21?
I never had a drink before 28.
I never had a drink before my 28th birthday.
Yeah, I'm not even 28 yet. I've never had a drink.
See, look at that.
Really? I started in my teens and I haven't stopped. So listen.
back to bromances.
Yeah.
So, Lenny, what's this bromance stuff you wanted to talk about anyway?
Okay. So what I was thinking, I mean, we all know the only reason we all hang out with each other is because no one else is really going to fucking hang out with us. I mean, every time we try and work through man into the group, it just doesn't work out. I mean, girls don't even want to fucking hang out with us. So we've come to just basically rely on each other and accept that there's always a group of guys. So if one of us does get a girlfriend, it's like, oh, I prefer to hang out with my guy friends. It's a bromance.
Yes, it's a bromance, yes.
Well, who's the male in this bromance and who's the female?
It's
a non-male relationship. No homosexuality is involved.
Okay.
Even hearing Lenny say homosexuality.
Way back
like,
when, God knows just when, but it used to be like, didn't they used to like just screw the broads and then say, okay, go sit in the corner and they hang out with their guy friends?
Oh, he said homosexuality. It's like hearing sex ed class in school.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
what is
boy.
Going on here? This could be the weirdest show we've ever done, top to bottom. Like, this actually is... Like, we're not as funny as Michael Ian Black, but we sure lived up to that realm of comedy, like that genre.
Well,
that's what this show's been, just really quirky and like weird and like, but he does it real well and we don't. So it's like somewhere in the middle.
Because you guys laugh after your own jokes. He's just deadpan. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty dead on the inside.
No, dead.
I should have Googled this motherfucker, shouldn't I?
Look at him! He's trying to give you the knife.
He still doesn't know who he is.
Yeah, no, he. You know, when you watch those, you know, Stella shorts that he filmed, you watch this. It's like, man, these things are fucking out of what doesn't make sense, but it's fucking funny.
I love that.
It's fucking funny.
Oh no, he's the best. He was the best. But I think we've blown him enough. And Craig Bierko got a lot of verbal blowies today.
And you even have to bring up again.
I brought Craig up numerous times. Look,
I mean,
fact of the matter is, Craig and I, we have this kind of like friendship that's just all blowies all the time.
I'm gonna talk about how he secretly hates you.
Really? I don't think he.
Oh,
ever
wasn't
did,
that last week?
I don't think he's ever did blowies on you.
No. It's always well, I could do it standing up. Now, did you... Oh, that's right. We did talk about how he secretly hates me. I bet he never heard it. I hope he never heard it.
He doesn't.
Peter Tolan heard his, and he wrote me a long, nice email saying he wants to be on the show again in like a month, and
really?
He does not hate
See?
Me.
We were right. You were wrong.
People
we were
really right. like doing the show, but now Michael Ian Black's the first person I'm thinking didn't like it.
Oh, do we have to go here
no,
again?
No, we're
please?
Not going there. Listen, he's a master.
I think he
of
may hate me.
He's a master of sarcasm.
Of sodomy? I thought you were going to say sodomy.
No.
I was going to say congratulations.
Why would you think I would say sodomy?
I don't know. It's just been that kind of show.
All right. So listen.
Oh, this fat fuck. Abercrombie and Fitch wearing, pie eating, water drinking, jabroni.
Oh, Gerzo's there?
No, Caesar is, though. Caesar's
oh,
there.
Dean, so this week?
You're not showing up.
Yeah, there's a loose pie here, Lenny.
Oh, Pat Tobias reminded me, I have to plug Wednesday and Thursday's shows. Next Wednesday, we have on Jimmy Pardo, who is a very good comedian and opens for every single Conan O'Brien show on TBS. He's the opening comic for the show.
Yeah.
Jimmy Pardo will be with us for at least an hour on Wednesday. Thursday, we have locally Chris Ronji of the Chicago White Sox, pre- and post-game, my boy Ronji. You know, I thought I'd give him a little rub. Okay. And then Jennifer Candy, John Candy's daughter, and Camp Candy from Camp Candy. She will be on the show, and we will be talking about John Candy, Jennifer Candy. So that's Wednesday and Thursday. Pretty loaded. I'm pretty excited.
Pretty loaded week.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Because those are like fun, interesting interviews.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Ronji and I are just going to fucking make jokes and BS. So.
You know, John Candy was someone who died way before his time.
Yes, I agree.
Good call, Lenny. Good call.
I mean, honestly?
It's the obvious. You're all sitting there blowing each other, Lord knows.
Oh, God. I would call you out on that if I didn't have my mouth so firmly situated on Matt's cock.
You talk very well for it, though. You have a big, big mouth.
Yeah, it's my big
mouth.
It's
a talent. You need a large garage to park the luxury cars.
If anyone knows, it's Lenny from Pat.
Right. Oh,
Mr. Beef loves giving him the old suck on the stromboli.
Yeah.
Did you call Mr. Beef yet?
Fuck, what am I going to call him for?
You gotta.
Call him for it. He has nothing to say other than, you're fat. Look at you, fatty. It's Lenny. He's fat. The Russian Revolution was a revolution in Russia.
What's wrong with America? Taxes?
I don't have Mr. Beef's phone number to call him. Caesar, I'm sure you do. It's your boyfriend.
Don't call him.
Oh, we're going to call Mr. Beef, Lenny.
I just want to, first of all, I want to bring
he's
up.
He's going to be so pissed. But
bring
go
up
ahead.
Something that you said a while back, which I thought was funny, about Lenny, which is that we have people who listen to the show who don't think Lenny is a real
is
person.
Real?
Yeah.
Is real?
Yeah.
Or we have women who think Lenny's so filthy that they kind of get turned on by him.
Right.
Which is real weird, too.
Yeah, that's
I would like to meet said women.
Lenny, I know said women, and you would not like to meet said women. They're all like 50 and like divorcees.
Maybe he would.
Yeah, never mind, he would.
That sounds right up his alley.
And they're only into him because they think he's just like this filthy, foul-mouthed asshole, and they want to be treated like shit. And call Lenny.
But you don't treat women like shit, do
no,
you?
No, Lenny's great to women, and that's the problem. He's so good to women, he doesn't want his friends around when he has a girlfriend.
Right.
So you're starting the shit again, goddammit.
I'm sorry. I stopped.
To all of our listeners, Lenny is real. He's a real person who refers to women as broads after 1930. Okay? He's a real person.
I actually like that. I don't know why.
We did not.
I could start calling them dames, too.
Yeah, dames. I like that.
I don't know. Lenny and I just got yelled at like a week ago for calling some woman a broad at Richards.
I think it's classic.
You know, you could call us a bitch. You could call us the C word, but you can't call us broad. Excuse me?
That's what
you're so worried about. I thought broad was almost like a term of affection.
She did say that this is a totally true story. We could call them anything but broad.
No way.
What about a tomato?
You know why? Because there was some fucking show on Lifetime, fucking TV, that all these fucking broads watched all at once. You can't get called broads. It's horrible. So they all picked up on that shit. Now we're dealing with them. Sick of it. It's bullshit.
I'm totally sick of it, too. It's fucking up bullshit.
These women not wanting to be called broads. What is wrong with them?
No, it's kind of fucked up, Lee.
I know.
I like it.
I kind of agree.
And you know what? Say it. I'm not saying it in any type of derogatory manner, either.
No.
Oh, no. I am thinking you were derogatory at all. No. No.
Like, I'm saying it with pure affection and love. I really am. It sounds sick, but...
No, we do.
She's a sweetheart. I mean, is that so bad?
I don't think I'm mean when I say broad. I don't think I'm being mean or disrespectful.
No, don't get me wrong. Some guys try to say it disrespectful. I am not doing it in that manner. Either are you, Matt.
No, my mom's a classy broad. I say it all the time.
Yeah, you know, it's not like we're saying, what do you call us? dick buddies? I don't know. What's the women's term for men?
Dick buddies?
Katie, help us out.
Where did you even get dick buddies from?
I don't know. I don't fucking know. I really don't.
Dick buddies? How is that the opposite of broad?
That's not the first time he's used that term.
So he's trying to slip in a new hot phrase called dick buddies.
I'm trying to become famous and get a new term in Webster's Dictionary.
Great.
It may not. It may not even make the Urban Dictionary.
Well, you know what? You know what? You stick stuff the opportunity to do it.
Oh. At 10 to 1, within 2 hours, that thing will be on Urban Dictionary.
Oh,
yeah, when you put it up there.
You know what? I've never put a term up there, but there's some sick shit on Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, there is some
like,
sick shit on Urban Dictionary. Okay, Katie Rose wants examples.
Talk dirty to Katie.
Oh, no.
You met my dick Peggy. Buddy.
Lenny.
You know what? Katie Rose should do her own show, and it's just going to be like, you know, masturbation with Katie Rose. And it's just like, do it slowly, slowly.
Are you serious?
Katie Rose should do a show far away from the likes of us, and that's the only way it'll be successful.
I don't even know what to say to that. It should be called Masturbation?
Masturbation with KRC. I think what Lenny's trying to say is all the guys will be masturbating while listening to you on your show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is, I'm sure...
Is that what you're saying, Lenny? Am I following?
I'm sure that's precisely what...
Honestly, she should train phone sex operators. She has an amazing voice for it.
Oh, God.
How do you train someone to do that?
Yeah. Well, you're just a dick buddy. That's
If I go to Lover's Lane and see a fleshlight that's now called Dick Buddy, I'm going to know where it came
from. Oh!
Yeah.
Hey, Lenny, this isn't movie phone, okay? I'm not...
You've already dialed the number,
pressing
buddy.
3 for another option.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Cars 2 is playing at...
Listen, so, to recap,
Leonard,
you're not on the show.
You two with the microphones know you're talking, right?
Yeah.
Without them, right? The two without them and the two with them aren't talking. I thought that was funny. Yeah, Caesar, don't talk during my show. Thank you.
So to recap, Katie Rose, you should write that down.
And Al, don't encourage him.
I think he gave you a viable option for a show in the future. Just write that
down.
Yeah, you know,
dick buddies with Katie Rose. Who would be your dick buddy, though, Katie Rose? Who would be, like, your number two?
I don't think I
like
would have
anyone.
Like,
you and Stacy?
No. People always tell me that I should write, like, romance novels.
Oh.
I have a very sick imagination, but I don't know. Maybe I can be Audie.
Lenny, are you alive? Did you just fall down a staircase?
No, we all know I avoid stairs at all costs.
He's going upstairs. He's like, why can't all buildings just be ranch homes with one floor?
No,
I will never own a fucking duplex or a bi-level. Fuck that.
No, Lenny's got one of those wheelchairs that, like,
I was
gonna
say,
attached to the wall.
Uh-huh.
No, it's attached to the wall. It goes up the stairs. We have to walk.
One heart murmur per landing, if I could keep it to that.
I'm just working to pull a sausage through.
What? Was that sexual?
No, it's from fucking Superfan, you dumb fucks.
Okay, there is something in the Urban Dictionary called dick buds. Dick buds are two friends who have seen each other's tiny penises. Did you hear that Len and Pat are dick buds? That's the example.
So in other words, does Caesar just put that on there?
Oh, no. Used as an example. That's what they gave.
Oh, man.
Oh,
did somebody put dick buds up there?
No. Well, dick buds is already up there. You missed the boat on your dick buds, pal. Dick buddies is still alive, though. That one's still alive. But I kind of think dick buds... Dick buddies, isn't that just an extension of dick buddies?
I think of like my buddy, like dick buddy, dick buddy.
My dick buddy and me.
Hey, Lenny is like a my buddy Dolly, slept with a lot of little girls.
Oh!
Whoa, now we're calling me a pedophile?
No, that's what Lee called you. I would never say such a thing, Lenny.
By the way,
yeah, you would, you sick fuck.
You're talking about one of my best friends here is a pedophile.
No,
he doesn't sleep with little girls.
But we haven't settled. Is Alex going to be doing his party?
Alex says he's doing his party, but what are we expecting here? If I'm going to walk in and feel like an 18-year-old dude, I'm going to have to punch someone in the
face.
Why
do you guys keep thinking there are going to be young guys there?
Because he has a younger brother.
Oh.
They're not going to be there, says Al.
My younger brother.
Oh, is that it?
Okay. Well, I'm going to bring my bocce ball set.
Oh, you're bringing your bocce ball set? Yeah, this sounds like...
Yeah, so I need him to build me a court by tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, pussy everywhere. We're playing bocce ball. Hey, who wants to come play bocce ball with some old fat Italians?
Nothing gets
I guarantee you we would be the life of that party.
Oh, you're going to make the tilted kilt women wet with your bocce ball. And when you get up from falling back down the stairs... What are you sticking
like
your head in like
a
garbage can? Yeah,
he's rifling through utensils looking for a big spoon.
Hey,
or he's opening.
No, I closed my thingamabobber, garage door.
Let me just say the Dick Butts thing a minute ago. It was nice to see producer Caesar join in the Vulcan.
It was nice of him to actually be a part of the show. You know, I don't think Caesar can complain about any content on this show today. This may be a first. Caesar?
First of all,
content? Any kind of content problem?
Let me tell you something. This show was...
Oh! I got some approval today.
I like it.
Oh. Yeah, we'll be going into overtime. Don't worry about that.
First of all...
We got on the phone. We're talking Dick Butt. This is important.
This show is relatively benign, I have to say.
Yeah. Not benign... Like land, though.
No, not
just benign, like not racy.
Yeah, not racy.
I mean, kind of racy.
Kind of.
I mean, we're still a TVMA.
We are.
Minus
yeah.
the TV.
Yeah. Len!
Yeah.
Al says 9 o'clock with this party.
Okay.
There's going
to
be.
I'm holding to that.
Here. I don't know if they deserve to be called broads, though. Tilted kilt skanks.
They're skanks.
With those back tattoos of theirs, with the swans, or what is it, angel wings?
Oh, yeah, I bet they have some C-section scars.
Oh!
Yeah.
I bet they have.
No. That's the 2 o'clock strip club girls.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And?
Family Guy referenced that.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's who's going to be there. Yeah, Gordo just went to play Dick Buddies in the bathroom by himself.
Sounds like
who's Gordo?
There's this Pat guy.
Another,
he's supposed to be Dick Buddies.
Sounds like you and another person are going to have to be like sword fighting with your cocks.
Well.
That's what Dick Buddies.
Yeah. That is like, you know how Webster's had like 5 definitions for every word?
Yeah, that's...
That's like just one of them,
okay.
Sword fighting cocks.
All right.
I'm glad my mother listens to this show. She learns so much.
I forgot my plug.
Oh, Katie Rose, you forgot to ask my mother while we're still live about her sex life.
Oh, my God.
You were asking
died
before.
Inside.
Let's hope she calls.
Please.
Lenny,
please.
Before the... we're already in overtime. Oh, she can't hear it. She can't hear it.
Okay.
And she doesn't download iTunes. You're in the clear. Well, maybe she does. I don't know. Lenny, before the show, Katie Rose was wondering about my parents' sex life.
I don't want to know.
Yes, you do. He just doesn't want you to ask about his parents.
You don't want to know, but you don't not want to know.
Oh, no.
Lenny, what are you doing? Why do you... Now you're whispering. You're like in a closet. Are you about to kill someone? Like he snuck in someone's garage. Now he's in a closet on a radio show while he has a knife in one hand, phone in the other. He's like, waiting for him to go to bed.
What are you doing?
Len, you're a politician, not a murderer. Remember that.
Aren't they the same?
In Texas.
He's eating something.
You sound really...
Oh, damn. So, yeah, Illinois is going to be the only one with a concealed carry now, without a concealed carry.
Is that for real? Oh, I got to move.
I think so.
I got to move.
It's frightening.
That is really frightening.
Would you ever consider owning a gun, Lenny?
Why is Lenny so quiet? I bet everyone...
Well, I'm in my house and my parents are sleeping.
I knew it. Everyone's sleeping at his house. Because Lenny lives with his parents, too.
You do.
Oh, no. Am I the only one that doesn't live with his parents? Katie Rose doesn't, I bet.
No, I do.
Oh, God.
I've got my own house on the block.
Well, okay. First of all, you not getting into it. You, your dad gave you your house, so shut the fuck up.
Okay.
Gordo's the only one that actually works hard and lives on his own.
Wait.
Congratulations, Gordon. Well, I said Anne lives on their own. You work hard. But you like living at home, which
well,
is okay.
Well, no, I don't. I mean, yeah, I like it, but I also have... I'm saving to buy a place.
Me too.
Okay.
I'm
yeah,
still
but
at
actually,
zero, but I'm
have
saving.
Money
You're trying. Hey,
I've been slaving for 6 years at my job.
Yeah,
so.
I've been slaving.
He's got a really big change jar.
Haven't you seen Ben-Hur? I am one of those slaves on the ship.
No.
Jesus walks by me, and I'm like, moving. I am moving to your basement. See, wouldn't I have a lot more street cred if I move into Al's basement?
Yeah.
Len, you think I should move into Al's basement?
Absolutely.
It has a steam room.
And a bench.
And a bench.
So now I'm moving in.
I see a lot of weight loss in my future.
Oh,
Len, you wouldn't move in because you don't know where the suburbs are.
Where do you live?
No, I don't, and no one needs to.
He lives in Cicero, which he does not consider a suburb.
Well, you live in the suburb.
No, he says it's the south part of the city.
Lenny, if I were to write you a letter, what town would I put on the envelope?
Uh-huh.
You could write Chicago and it'd still make it here.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, after they figure out where your address
oh,
is
the political
in Cicero.
Address.
Return to center. Return to center. Caesar had a good one.
Move no forwarding address.
Cicero is a suburb.
It
Let's
is.
Get that out in the open.
I beg to differ. It's like a first-ring suburb.
I told a story on this show one time about how I took a girl on a first date to meet Lenny and Chuck, which was mistake numero uno.
Yeah, what?
Mistake, I remember that.
Mistake numero dos is she called Cicero a suburb, and Lenny went off on her for like 5 minutes.
Oh, God.
So was there a second date? What did you do on the second date? He apologized?
There was interest in a second date. No, you didn't meet her. There was interest in a second date. She was kind of weird. She started writing me songs after the first date. Like,
what kind of songs?
She was a guitarist.
She wanted a dick buddy.
Yeah, she wanted a dick buddy.
Oh.
And, yeah, make it about Len and Pat. Len and Pat are dick buddies. They get together in the basement, they stand in a circle, and they dick buddy each other. I don't know. Examples. Anyways, back to my story.
Yeah.
So anyways, Lenny went off on her. Cicero is not a suburb. And I believe he called her a bitch at one point. It went real well. And then he told her about Blu-ray porn.
Mm-hmm. No, listen, the picture quality is so good. You could see this broad's ass. Is it really? Was it like that?
Ask Lenny. He's on the phone now to confirm.
Oh, God.
Was you can see the vein.
Yes!
Yes!
Gross!
Mm. Oh.
Christmas.
I am so glad I didn't eat any pizza.
What happened with that first date? I know I don't.
Oh, so anyways, yeah, she wrote me a bunch of weird songs. She went out with Jeremy Piven.
Yeah.
Before me.
Boy.
So it was like it was already like I don't want to.
She really went low on this one.
Right.
No,
she went lower with Piven.
Yeah. I was gonna say like she went from Piven to you. What a tremendous.
I'm a step up from Piven.
Yes, you beat me to it.
Yeah, I'm a step up. He's a terrible human being.
Yes.
But Pat Tobias, cross him off the booking list, would you? I don't think he's coming on now.
I know who this guy is.
Who?
Michael Ian Black.
Now you know who Michael Ian Black is?
Right.
2.5 hours into the show. We're only in overtime. That's good.
Right.
Glad you figured it out now. Maybe I'll get him back on the phone. Hey, Michael. Len knows who you are now.
That's really great. I'm trying to sleep.
I thought it was funny that I got Michael to open up about if him and Hank Azaria were lovemates.
Yeah,
he's the guy in the I Love the 70s, 80s, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Yeah, he totally does all that commentary.
Right.
That's all you know him from, though?
Pretty much.
Which is, okay. Like, not the best thing he's done by far.
Well, you know what Italians do. We sit around and watch a lot of VH1 bullshit.
Yeah.
We do.
Italians love
That's VH1. Why they made Mob Wives. That's why they made Mob Wives. They thought we'd get addicted to that. And I think most Italians are addicted to Mob Wives,
really?
Except me and Lenny hate it. Yeah.
I hate that show.
It's awful. It's terrible.
I bet genuine Italians really don't like that show.
Like, it's not even interesting. There's nothing about the mob in it.
No, there's not. And I don't know, because Lenny and I've heard from a couple Italians. I can't remember who off the top of my head, but someone was raving about it a few weeks ago when we were out. That's when Lenny and I were hammered at State, though. But someone was raving about it. So you got to watch this show. It was awful.
To watch
I watched old
people.
One of them's
old...
not even Italian. She's Albanian or whatever.
Oh, right, that blonde one.
Yeah, the whore. They're all whores. Well, actually, none of them are really hoary.
Oh, don't say that about those broads.
Oh, yeah, they are in the mob. I'm going to die. They're great broads.
Oh, because they're really listening.
Yeah. Well, they may be looking for some publicity.
Maybe listen to some
What's that?
Wouldn't it be great if Lenny fell asleep with the phone on?
I feel like he is.
It's coming close.
Close.
What's coming close?
This
it's
has been
disgusting.
The most...
You're coming close?
This has been
the
most mannered Lenny talking that we've ever had on the show.
Because he doesn't want to wake up his parents.
Did he just come from a courtesy?
I love how we're 27, 28, and we're afraid of waking up our parents.
I want Lenny to describe the scene of what he's doing right now.
Ooh.
Are you in bed? Are you in a sofa lounger?
You porn.
No, I'm in my office.
Your office?
What's funny is that... If I
Gordo can... wants to know if you were watching you porn.
No, can't say I am.
He's so relaxed about everything right now.
It's grossing me out.
He's in his office playing with his Lego sets that he's built. No, I swear to God.
Oh,
Lenny,
no.
Tell him about your Legos.
Oh, he's
got Legos.
He's got the Yavin base, Rebel base set.
He does. He does. Tell Lee he's right about the Star Wars set, Lenny.
Yeah, you're pretty close.
It's not the Rebel set. It's the Emperor set,
it's
but
not
you
the,
know.
It's not the Yavin Rebel base. It's the Hoth Rebel base.
Oh, Lenny and his Legos. It's so cute. We went Christmas shopping. And we stop at the Lego store, and I'm like, Lenny, why are we... Pat and I, we were so bored. We're like, why are we at the Lego store? Lenny had to look at all the Legos. And I go, oh, you getting them for a cousin or something? He goes, no, I'm looking for my office. For me. And then we're like, this is the worst trip of my life. I'm at the fucking Lego store. I'm 27 years old. I'm 27 years old. And I'm walking around the Lego store kicking three-year-olds down because they're in the way.
Yeah, the thing is, you're thinking about running up your charge card and buying some, too.
Charge card? Who calls it that anymore? Honestly, Lenny?
I still say going to the pictures.
Going to the pictures?
Going to the flicks. We're at the flicks.
Do you get shoes repaired at the cobbler?
No, but I do get my hats made at the haberdasher.
Yeah, nice. All right.
Wait, just a second. I've never seen you in a hat other than Kangol.
Well, you get it at the five and dime.
Do they make Kangols over there?
You got to get it at the five and dime.
At the five and dime.
Oh, wait, though. You have not painted this picture for Katie Rose. You're in your office.
I'm in my office pulling out my iPad.
Oh. Of course. Continue.
Porn.
No, that's about it.
What are you going to do on the iPad, Len?
No, I'm going to grab it and go sit on the toilet and do some reading.
We are not talking to Lenny on the show while he's taking a shit.
I think we're about to go there.
No.
Wouldn't it be great if we could smell it from the other end, from like our end?
I'd rather poke up my one eye. I would. With a blunt pencil.
Just one eye?
I would rather watch Turzo eat a McRib sandwich than he...
I'd actually like to see that.
No, I've seen Turzo eat a McRib sandwich.
Lenny,
it's the same thing as Lenny shitting.
Really?
It's the same exact thing. They smell the same. They look the same. There's brown stuff all over Turzo's face. There's brown stuff all over Lenny's face. Do you have a bidet, Lenny? Do you have a bidet?
No, I do not.
Oh, you need to get one of those, because I used one the other day. It washed all my balls.
All of them?
All is...
Like, you have, like, more than seven?
No, I have two balls, but
no,
they washed them both completely.
He literally has tons of balls. It's like a fucking bunch of grapes down there.
It really is. It really is.
No, it's a bunch of capers.
Yeah, right.
Capers. Oh, God.
Those are small. Anyway,
an Italian.
Yeah.
But anyways, back to the bidet. You need to get one. It washes your balls. It washes your anus. I thought there was still, like, poop in my ass or, like, some kind of, like, thing, like brown stuff.
Where
I don't
did
know.
You use a bidet?
Where was that? Some restaurant. Oh, fuck.
You, like, okay, so
it
I
was downtown. Where did I eat the other day?
Do you, like, use a towel afterwards?
Mm-mm.
No.
Get this. This is the best part. It dries your balls and ass.
Okay, I lived in an apartment with a bidet,
yeah.
And I only turned it on to, like, splash water and scare people,
oh.
But I never used it, but I don't get it.
You
oh.
just, that's a lie.
Stand over it? I didn't.
No, but this is like a toilet bidet, shouldn't say it's like a bidet. It was like a toilet bidet.
What does that mean?
It flushed automatically. It was a toilet, but it had, like, the bidet feature.
It just shoots up water?
It shoots up water. It also dries your
like shoots
area.
Wait.
No, it dries your area. Shoots up air. Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, I guess, actually.
Well, yeah.
It's more like a hand dryer, like, in a toilet.
I want to bring up something that happened just
yeah.
a second ago. Lenny implied that Katie Rose lied that she,
yeah.
did, that she didn't use the bidet.
Yeah, what was that about,
I
actually?
Never did.
Bullshit.
Lenny, you need to get a bidet, though. They're $4,000, the toilet that I was on the other day.
You know what? I'll get a jacuzzi before I get a bidet.
No, I think you use this toilet more than a jacuzzi.
I think you're right.
Listen, you can't keep a entire...
And you could play Great Angry Birds on this thing. Trust me, I was. I was playing the best...
You're rocking and rolling?
Yeah, it heated. It had a heated seat, Lenny. My ass was in heaven. I sat there for like a half hour. The black guy at the door that like dries your hands and puts cologne on you, gives you the spritzer, you know...
yep.
I just sat there for like 30 minutes. He was waiting for me. It was really awkward.
Were you moaning?
No, but I was playing Angry Birds, and I'd say shit, or I'd be like, fuck, on iPhone. It's a video game with the birds. The birds, like, you shoot birds, and you knock down things with birds, and you do things with birds.
Well, ironically, I'm actually going to go sit on the toilet. So
pad and play Angry Birds.
I'll be talking to you guys tomorrow.
What are you reading, by the way?
I'm not sure yet. I probably some news articles.
You have not read my pilot yet.
Fuck, that's still sitting at my other office.
Your other office.
Oh, so many offices.
He has a lot of offices. Bye-bye, Lenny. I'll see you tomorrow.
You know what? Send it to... Okay, yeah. I'll talk
tomorrow
to you in a bit.
Night. Are we going out tomorrow night after your Tufanos? Oh, yeah.
Or we might go by Alex's.
No, we are going to go by Alex's. It's 3 blocks from my house.
Don't do it all.
Go downtown. You're out of your mind. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, bye.
Enjoy your shit.
I like that he was at least classy enough not to talk to us while shitting.
He was thinking about it, though.
I think I
know.
He was
there
mad.
Was definitely
yeah,
thought. And who knows? He may have actually been, like, mid, like...
Oh, yeah.
He had his pants and underwear down. He's sitting on the toilet. He's not looking at the iPad yet because he's on the phone with us.
No,
but as soon as he got a turtle head, it was, I got to go, guys. I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Right.
I'm going to read on my iPad. He was there the whole time.
No,
though.
He was hanging up. It was time
to
wipe.
He was just waiting for the turtle head.
It was time to wipe.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, could have been wiping time. No, I think we would have heard it. I imagine Lenny is having, like, really wet, like, that kind of poop.
Just like a horse neighing?
Yeah, but actually, like, worse than a horse neighing. Like, a horse neighing, but their tongue, like, gets out, and it's all wet and slimy, and
okay.
It's like...
Like a cow giving birth?
Like the kind where he has to wipe his back off afterwards.
Those are the kind of shits I imagine Lenny
right,
takes.
Really?
I picture like a little bleeding.
Like a little blood. He's got to clean off under the seat.
How funny would it be if you walked into a toilet? How funny would it be if you walked into a bathroom Lenny just shit in, but he didn't flush and all you saw were like rabbit pellets in the toilet? Like the smallest poop on the planet.
It's not possible.
He just shoots out pellets. Oh, no, there could be 100 of them,
like
but he's still just shooting out pellets.
Like
bing,
like
bing, bing.
Like a Daisy air rifle.
Yeah, like a BB gun, yeah. Bing. Little splashes come up and hit him in the ass cheek.
20 points.
Pat's giving him a blumpkin.
They are things, buddy.
Oh, you know what? I think that's enough show for tonight. We'll leave on that, on Pat giving Lenny Blumpkins.
No,
we'll
more
leave on
show,
that night.
Please, no more show.
Oh, let's
wait.
Play some Bye Bye Bye. Yeah, Lee, you got a plug real quick. Go ahead.
For Christ's sake.
No, they'll be downloading tomorrow. We got 100 people or so, 1,000 people, a million.
Listen, I'll be at Finn McCool's on Sunday. The show starts at 8. It's going to be very funny. It's on Division and Dearborn in Chicago. Very funny show. A lot of funny Chicago comedians there.
Who's going to be there other than you?
James Fritz, who has a CD out on iTunes. Very funny. Marty DeRosa, who's in Comedians You Should Know.
Yes.
Sidney Adenyi, very funny guy.
Wow.
Joe Hernandez. Very good lineup.
This is how much I love you, Lee. That is a great lineup. You got to go out and see it.
Oh, okay.
Not that good. Oh, we're still
on. You're
going to choke. It was really good. It's a good lineup. Have fun. Please go see Lee. He needs your money.
Really?
I'll talk to you later. We'll be on Wednesday with Jimmy Pardo, or maybe before Wednesday if we have a surprise or two, if you've listened this long. See you then.